Hey, what's poppin'? It's Tuesday, Drew and Mike show with Trudy, Mark, Brandon doing his second show of the day. He had Eli, Denny, and Bob Page in No Filter Sports this morning.
Whoa.
No. Doing a marathon. Well, yeah, the problem with that show is I have to shovel the walk because Denny is not getting around really well. And I have to go get hotter in the morning, so I'm very nervous that Denny's going to show up first and he's going to wipe out.
While you're getting hotter?
Yeah, while I'm getting hotter, he's going to be rolling around in the snow. Brandon will come and call 911.
Why don't you just get engineering to do it? Didn't they used to do that at the...
Well, the shipping department doesn't seem to have them enough to do, so get somebody from over there.
I did a secondary shovel and laid some salt.
Did you?
He was good to go.
We're going to need some new salt, by the way. There's a lot of issues. We're going to have to get the transportation department.
Oh, I got crap loads of salt at home. I'll bring it.
The turf and snow maintenance department.
Isn't that part of Maz's job?
Yeah.
Just the expert at snow removal.
It's true. Yeah, we should get Maz Bob. Well, let's get that to be part of his occupation.
Sales and shoveling.
The Zot connection.
Co-host and shoveling.
Oh, my God. He'd be so
Every
mad.
Job he has is and shoveling.
We're quite excited about Graham Nash from the Hollies and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. He's one of the few people that's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice.
Yeah.
I mean, very, very few people. And he's playing the Royal Oak Music Theater on March the 20th.
Amazing.
You know what's amazing about CSNY? I think they're the only band I can think of, besides
the Beatles,
of course, where all four members can go out and have a pretty amazing set list of songs that you know all the songs.
Yeah.
What about Kiss?
Well, let's see. Peter Criss, you got Beth.
Which he did. He went out solo.
Ace.
Ace went out solo. They've all gone out solo.
Ace has a few songs, but I mean...
I know.
Graham
John
Nash, Marrakesh Express, Bus Stop, Carrie Ann.
Chicago?
Holly, Chicago, We Can Change the World, Wasted on the Way, Just a Song Before I Go, Teach Your Children,
Jeez.
Our House, a bunch of other CSNY songs. He's just got a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Beth, I hear you calling.
Way to bark it up, Drew.
But I can't come home right now.
Maybe we get him to play this.
Me and the boys are playing.
I think it pisses Kiss off so much that Peter Criss sang their biggest hit.
It's awesome.
It really bums them out.
Great.
What do they do when they play without Peter? Do they leave this out of the set?
And it's to his wife, so it is kind of odd. Well, X. Is it an X? I just
probably.
Assume.
I think it's a fair assumption with Peter Criss. After all the drugs and alcohol he abused, no woman could have survived that. No marriage could have survived all the drugs and alcohol that Ace and Peter were doing.
He probably adds that to his argument.
What's Graham's biggest solo song? Is it Better Days?
Better Days is a great song.
That's the one that has the most streams on Spotify.
I'm going to say Just a Song Before I Go by CSN.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just doing solo.
Yeah, that's... Our House? Solo. No, that's CSNY.
Oh.
Solo. You know, honestly, I don't know how much Graham Nash has toured on his own. He's always been with CSN or Crosby, Nash. By the way, what combination of Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young has not played together? I don't think we've had Nash Young.
No.
Have we had Crosby Young?
No, Crosby Young? I don't.
There's been a number of combinations. We're Stills Young.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was good.
I could see
good.
How those two could get together because both guitarists. And...
Oh, yeah. Ooh, that'd be a ripping show.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
They did On the Beach. Is it On the Beach, Stills Young? Or wait, is it On the Beach? What am I thinking? There's two CSNY albums that were going to be and fights. They literally done the whole, virtually most of the second one, and they scrubbed Nash and Crosby.
What?
Because of an argument.
Huh.
And the first one, Graham claims in his book, Nash Tales, God, it's a great book.
Nash Tales.
That it was a Coke deal that shelved the first one. So CSN, I think, ended up doing a record. Neil did one on his own. So much to talk about with Graham Nash. And again, Royal Oak Music Theater, March 20th. Facebook will be brought to you by Mesa Tacos and Tequila. Conveniently located in the heart of downtown. Boy, that is not giving in. That's
provocative.
That's a huge term in Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Mesa's between 3rd and 4th Street in the heart of Royal Oak on Main. And they've got Margarita Mondays with $3 fresh squeeze margaritas. All you can eat taco Tuesdays. Open mic night Wednesday. Trivia Thursday. And then live local music over the weekend.
Some people are saying you could go to Mesa and then the Graham Nash Show.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
It is a perfect idea.
On the 20th of March. I wonder what day of the
week
is.
Some people are saying.
What, you got to go somewhere else? Where are you going to go, Mr. Bees? Ask for the 10% Drew and Mike discount at Mesa. Of course, the Grammys last night. And
nice.
A little fallout right away is that Katy Perry is not having a good day. First of all, her blackface shoes have been taken off the market. Apparently, if you darken material, it can be considered blackface. Does anyone understand why these shoes are considered to have
no
black?
Understand.
They're shoes.
Did any who
the shoes have
out?
A face?
No.
Hey, what if someone?
Those shoes did have a face, though. That was the problem.
Can you darken the head of your penis and be accused of blackface?
Oh,
has that ever happened?
Black head.
But head. I don't know. There's a face. There's a face.
There's an eye.
It's a cyclops, but okay.
Was someone mad about these shoes or?
Go black.
Or were they just poor selling shoes?
They have lips and eyes, so it looks kind of like a face, and you see it with the leather version, which is light, and then they did darken the material. And the
is it because the nose is white?
The nose white and blackface? Did Ralph Northam?
I don't know.
No.
Did Ted Danson whiten his nose?
No.
I'm not aware of there being a white nose in blackface.
No, that's way off the script.
What if it's a black shoe that's doing a white nose face?
I don't know. All I know is they're off the market.
The shoe started as white.
Thank God they're off the market. This outrage has been silenced or quieted down a bit.
They're ugly.
But there's additional
terrible.
There's additional outrage over her performance in the Dolly Parton set, which I got to say, I liked seeing Dolly Parton get up there and sing and be on it. I really like her. I think she's a great chick. And she wrote a lot of great songs.
Yeah.
Not always my favorite songs, but she's just, I think she's very underrated.
Oh, I think she's really underrated, but it also is immortal, apparently.
God, she looks.
Show me them big old titties. Come on.
I've always thought she was pretty. I don't know why. She's always so crazy made up, and that giant tits help. but Katy Perry was singing kind of crazy. And apparently Dolly didn't like it because that's not how she sang. They were supposed to back her up, not get crazy.
Right, yeah.
And she got a little too crazy. And the other problem with Katy Perry is I can't figure out, is she over?
Yeah.
Because I don't even think she's hot anymore. And I used to think she was so hot.
Ever since she bought that nun's house, she's been done.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
It's the hex.
Oh, wasn't she done with Orlando Bloom?
Listen to this.
Yeah, true. To make it work without you. You look into my eyes and lie those pretty lies. And pretty soon I'm wondering.
Hear what the insider said?
What did the insider say?
Katy tried to make it her own. It was Dolly's night to shine, and Katy should have respected that. Dolly really let the producers have it, because that was not the performance Katy gave during rehearsals. When she came out making all those weird hand gestures and singing out of pitch, everyone was like, what? That's a direct quote from the source.
Smokey's digging it.
Ooh, there's more information from the source.
Smokey. Is Smokey wearing a smoking jacket? And is it because...
Oh, yeah, every jacket he wears is a smoking jacket. Oh, look how pissed Dolly looked at her. Did you see that?
Oh, back that up. Back that up.
Just a hair, Brandon.
God, she is pretty.
Oh,
She looked a little taken aback.
Katy said she was just trying to stand out. She didn't want to be just another background singer for
Dolly. You are a background singer.
But that's what she was there to do, the source claimed.
Can that be real? Because how could she be that petty?
Big kitties.
I can see her being petty.
Dolly, you mean?
No, oh, Katy Perry.
I don't know.
I didn't want to just be another. Well, you're not. You're clear as day. You are, but
the blonde hair has ruined her look, I think.
Ah, the Super Bowl halftime show ruined her, I think.
It's the curse of the left shark.
It was so dumb.
It was dumb. You're right.
Really dumb.
Well, a lot of things have conspired to lower her in my esteem. I think.
And the short hair.
She was always kind of childish, so maybe just the world grew up and she just stayed the same, I guess. And we're done with her. Because that act is pretty tiresome.
The short hair hasn't done much for her either.
She needs to get her boobs out there more because she has great boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crane them.
What happened? Yeah, crane them up there. Kiss a couple girls.
Hey, we're talking tits.
Give another shot, Katy.
But she opened with the kiss a girl line. That's what made her famous to begin with. She can't do that again.
She had a string of hits.
What was the last hit she had?
Fireworks?
Seemed like it's been a few years.
That was like 15 years ago.
Yeah, I think she's over. I declare her over. Unless she gets her tits out there.
I like that you left a little door open for when she's not over.
Well, I think it's a big asset for her.
She hasn't had anything hit the top 100 since 2014 with Dark Horse.
Ooh. Ouch.
Ooh. And what did Dark Horse do?
That's got a sting.
Number one. Dark Horse was number one. Firework was number one. Roar was number one. Teenage Dream was number one. And
Penthouse to the Outhouse. Number one to out. See ya.
What was the last year?
She's got 9 number one hits, 14 top 10.
I looked that up last night because I was thinking, Katy Perry, when's the last time we heard from Katy Perry? And the first thing I saw was she has 9 number ones. I'm like, whoa.
Well, don't forget she spent all of 2016 on the stump for Hillary. That can't help. That could have killed her off.
She has done some goofy stuff.
Yeah.
And she needs to be taken to task for that.
Now,
American Idol? She was on American Idol?
I forgot about that.
Wow.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, but she had a huge contract. She made a ton of money.
Maybe she doesn't need any money, and that's why she's over.
But if she can't have a hit because she's on American Idol, people go, oh, my God, is she done? Then doesn't that
cost? Steven Tyler was on American Idol.
Trudy, I think you're right.
Did it help Steven Tyler?
She really peaked at the Super Bowl, and it's been all downhill since.
Yeah.
What year was that?
Yeah.
2015.
Ooh.
Right after the hit.
Yep. And then.
Womp. Womp.
See ya.
Good job, Left Shark.
Crashed into a house.
All right. More on the Grammys. Grams coming up in a few minutes, but I just want to remind people about Zot, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, because they go above and beyond for their customers. Jeff Schneider's the GM. Thad Zot is the owner, and they love to help you, the podcast listener, if you want to get a vehicle from Chrysler, Jeep, Zot, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram. If you want Jeff Sell, he'd be happy to talk to you. If you want them to intervene or you have any questions. And during their Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram's 2019 Auto Show event, you can lease the truck of the year, a 19 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab for just $169 a month, and Zot will double your Auto Show bonus cash. They've also got the 19 Jeep Compass Limited for $199 a month, again, doubling the bonus from the Auto Show. And also auto show deals on Wrangler at Zot with employee pricing for everyone on the 18 Jeep Wrangler. No discount number needed. Show up and get employee pricing on a brand new Wrangler only at dealsinthed.com. And what's the Valentine special?
Oh, crap.
It was something really cool.
Let's see. It's not the 19th yet, right?
No, it was, it goes beyond.
So they have various love packages that start out with some fillers, wrestling for the crags.
Are you looking for the information?
I am.
Okay, I'll tell you about Luke Nowacki while you're looking.
Okay.
let's see, whether you've had $11 trillion or $3 and something in change saved up, it's important to have a plan in place when saving for retirement. Some people may believe it's never been worse, but the truth is there's never a bad time to reanalyze your current plan to achieve the retirement you want. Call Luke Nowacki at 248-663-4748 for no obligation review of your financial strategy. Security investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated separately own other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates. And, oh, yes, there it is, the Valentine's special. And
it's the I Like You package, which is...
Oh, Botox, Dysport, Juvederm, Restylane. Oh, all those fillers that make those wrinkles go, bye! Look years younger, get the contoured look. Then the I Love You package.
I love you package.
Vaginal rejuvenation. The G-Shot.
I love you so much, I want that fixed.
I love you.
Broadband light treatments, and, recovery's really quick for that, too. It sounds like a big deal, but no, it's like magic. And then I really love you package. Explore the ultimate makeover package of HD liposuction. We've seen the pictures. That is really amazing.
Yeah.
They shape those hips and...
I don't love you,
Body Tight and Zerona that helps to create a brand new you. And that's through the 19th of February?
Yes. And he told me that they went to Hollywood and they studied with one of those animators who do movies and, and in contouring, contouring classes. So.
Contour, yeah, well, that's the big thing. I mean, that's the shaping. It's amazing when you look at the pictures. Call
skill, yeah, involved. Go ahead.
Yeah, there is a lot of skill involved. Call for a consultation, 248-338-1110, 248-338-1110, or D-R-R-O-C-H-E. You know, I thought of a Mel Gibson drop last night.
Oh, yeah.
When Alicia Keys came out. you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm looking. It's,
yeah, because it
takes a long time for me to look.
I wasn't crazy about Alicia Keys.
She was terrible. I'll say it. She sucked. I like her, but that sucked.
She's an excellent.
And that green thing today was enough.
Yeah, the green thing. What was that green thing she was wearing?
With the bandana on her head?
Yeah.
It kind of looks like she rolled out of bed and was like, oh, God damn it, I'm late for the Grammys.
And just threw it on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or I've never seen a host make the whole show about them.
That's kind of how I felt. Like, wasn't it all the everyone that sang her girl or something?
Yeah, or
please,
sister.
Can I bring some of my sisters out here tonight? My sister in music, Janelle Monae. Show some love for my girl, her. Give it up for my sister, Lady Gaga. My girl, Kelsey Ballerini.
Wow, it was worse than I thought.
She had a brother, I think, in there. And
she have a brother?
And then she said her
who
husband.
Who was her brother?
Oh, who was her brother?
I don't remember.
I'm just sister.
One of the presenters.
Oh, you're my sister.
And then her husband, I was like, I wonder if she has any more husbands in the audience. Or maybe just one husband.
I thought
you look like a fucking bitch on here.
Whoa, Mel.
I thought the thing where she played two pianos was like,
stupid.
Okay, whatever.
I was but then impressed.
I'm sure a lot of people were.
That's Drew, a.k.a. Mel, watching last night.
I do sit at the piano and do lots of work, yeah.
I was predicting that today people would say she did a great job. But when she did the thing about songs I wished I'd written, and of course it ends with the song that she wrote that everyone else wishes they wrote, New York.
Chick claims to be a semi-professional pianist, but sounds more like Liberace taking a dump on a chalkboard.
Didn't that make it all about her?
Yes, yeah. Every break she did was all about her, her friend.
Yeah, the green thing was a disaster. The outfits after that, I thought she looked pretty good.
Yeah.
They look stupid, I'm just telling you. It's just an appraisal. Keep them if you want. Look stupid. See if I give a fuck.
The green thing was awful. Her sister, Lady Gaga, was so guilty of over-rocking. That might have been the worst.
Was ludicrous.
Some of the worst over-rocking I've ever seen. That song is not a
what
big
was
jam
that?
Band song.
She did.
All financial hotline opening up.
Oh, oh.
Hopefully for Graham Nash. Oh,
well, Brandon's doing
going
to
his pre-interview.
Oh man.
Uh oh.
He also left the phone potted up.
Oh.
It's okay. It's going. That'll be.
Oh, okay. That was the Hall Financial Hotline.
Yeah, it has a very long dial tone.
It's a lot to power it up, man.
Whoa. That's tense. Oh, it's tentious.
Right to Graham.
Very tentious.
Is this Graham Nash?
It is. I see it takes three of you to put music on the air. That's interesting.
It's hard. It's a hard job.
How you doing,
the three
Graham?
Of you guys do most of the time.
I feel very good. You know, I'm getting older as everybody is. I was 77 about a week ago. I'm having a great time with my life. I am still creative. I've got three tours this year. You know, one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast, and Europe in the summer. I'm still creating. I still feel fantastically alive, and I'm great.
Wow.
Well, I saw the show we have coming up here, of course, Royal Oak Music Theater. And, you know, to think about you guys playing back in, I think it was 74, in those giant arenas in front of 200,000 people at times. And here we get to see you in a place that holds a couple thousand. And I know you like playing smaller places better, don't you?
I do, because I can see my audience and I can see how they react to the music that I'm making. And if I think I sang a line great or if I sang a song well and see them smiling and nodding their heads and see them smiling as they leave the concert, I know I've done my job.
And you didn't make a lot of money on the 74 tour anyway, did you?
Well, it depends. It's all relative, isn't it? I think, you know, we made, I don't know, $300,000 each or something like that.
It sounded like there was a lot of expenses. You were talking about the
oh,
was,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you're dealing with Bill Graham, who I loved and respected greatly and was very saddened when I heard of his passing in the helicopter crash, when you know, you can expect anything with Bill. And there were wooden plates with CSN, you know, the drawing that Joni did for the So Far album.
Hmm.
You know, branded into it, pillowcases with it woven into the pillowcases.
Ah.
You know, sushi for a million people every night, lobster for breakfast. It was, yes, it was crazy.
Yeah, it just seems like with the kind of crowd you guys had, because wow, that was. And by the way, I like the release that came out. I know you guys weren't crazy about the performances, but I thought it sounded great.
No, you got to understand. A lot of people saw the bootleg of our show at Wembley Stadium in London, which was the last show. And it sucked. We snorted too much cocaine. We were too high. We played too fast. You know, we didn't like it. But because people were seeing that out there, I went to Neil and said, you know, this is not right. We were a great fucking rock and roll band. I want to fucking show people. And it took me 4 years to make that box set.
Wow.
4 years.
Yeah,
not every day, of course, but 4 years. I wanted to prove that we were not just songs or just people. We were a great rock and roll band.
Now, were Crosby, Stills, and Young putting in their time, too, when you were working for 4 years on this?
No. They trusted me. No, they trusted me.
They did, okay.
You know, and what I would do is I would make a song selection. I would send it to Neil and David and Stephen, and they'd write back and say, continue, continue, continue. They trusted me. They know that I want us to be good. I wasn't going to put out a piece of crap. Well, I wanted it the best way.
It can be a little tricky with you guys. I by the way, I love Graham Nash, Wild Tales. I picked it up in, was it 2013?
Yes.
And I just love the book. There's so many things in there I would never expect to be revealed. And it's not that I just want to gossip about, you know, the stuff that most people want to talk about. But, I mean, you just are so open about so many things in that book. And
yeah, well, you know, if you're going to write a fucking autobiography, you better be telling the truth. I mean, because it's down there forever. You can't take it back.
How do you remember all that stuff? I mean, there's some really explicit detail. Did you take notes or have a diary or a journal?
No, I have a brain.
Well, there are
which is something our president doesn't have.
I mean, I felt that when I was listening to Chicago, We Can Change the World, it was somewhat of a protest song brought back to now.
Yes. But how about immigration, Matt? Do you think that's not today?
Yeah, that I love that song, too. That's a rocker, some great guitar work on it. But, yeah, it is amazing how well some of those songs hold up. And you guys were very much of the moment. Ohio, you guys put that out over the Kent State thing. Wasn't that out a couple weeks after it happened?
12 days.
12 days. Wow. Who does that? Who did that? Nobody.
We did it because it was more important. Here's what was going on. We had Teach Your Children Out as a single going into, it was already in the top 30, going to the top of the charts. And then Kent State happened. Crosby called me from Northern California, where he was at a friend's house with Neil. He said, Willie, book the studio. Book Halverson, the engineer, tell the band, we're coming down tomorrow. I said, holy shit, David, you sound intense. I'm going to do that, but what's going on? He said, I showed Neil the magazine with the dead people on the cover. I saw him pick up his guitar, and I saw him write Ohio.
Wow. Wow.
It's an incredible song. We're coming down tomorrow. They came down. We cut it, I think, in less than three takes. We mixed it. We did the B-side, Find the Cost of Freedom.
Oh, yeah.
Easy to do. Just one acoustic guitar and three vocals to double. Ahmet Erdogan from, you know, who was the owner and our dear friend from Atlantic Records was there that night. We gave him the mix and said, put it out immediately. He said, wait a second. You've got a song going up into the charts. He said, we don't give a fuck. It's more important that people know that we're killing our fucking children because of their God-given right to protest what their government is doing in their name than us having another hit fucking record. Put it out immediately. And the initial design for the cover of the 45 was the U.S. Constitution with four bullet holes in it.
Mm. Oh. Wow. And I'm trying to remember, was Teach Your Children derailed by Ohio? Was Ohio a bigger hit?
It must have been. Because, you know, after Ohio came out, we forgot about the record of Teach Your Children.
Yeah, and it's amazing. I love the song. I mean, of course, the topic is horrible, but, you know, Four Dead in Ohio, who would think that would get airplay? But they
really?
Did. I mean, it was of the moment, and people went for it.
Absolutely, of the moment, and that's who we were.
And how much pushback from Atlantic Records, or is it just like, nah, this is what these guys do, they're hits, we're just going to let them do it?
Armit was our dear friend, and he always said to the people, you know, leave them alone. Whatever they give us will be fabulous. Just leave them alone. Don't put any fucking pressure on that. And quite honestly, when we first signed with Atlantic, we signed for six records.
Wow.
I'm not sure we have done six records.
Over the years, was the, I think it's a double CD, or maybe it's four albums, but it's 30 tracks of Graham Nash's Even Music from the Hollies, which you are playing Holly songs. Have you played Holly songs much since the Hollies?
I've been starting my tour occasionally with Bus Stop.
Oh, that's great. Oh, my God.
And quite frankly, I just over a week ago, I was in London being the Americana Award for a Lifetime Achievement Award, and who presented to me by complete surprise? I'm sitting on the fucking front row, right? You know, the compere said, and to present this to Graham Nash is Alan Clark.
Wow.
Holy shit. Alan came on stage and presented me with it. And I reestablished my dear friendship with Alan. And life is good.
Graham, I'm glad you mentioned that, because in Wild Tales, I was reading about all these seminal events in your life, and in my own mind, maybe I'm thinking too much, but I was thinking, gee, what were the most seminal things for Graham that led him to where he is now? And I thought that when you were in grade school, I don't know if it was second or third grade, and the principal came in and said, this is the new kid in your class, Alan Clark. And you and Alan end up, of course, being the core of the original Hollies, and I thought, well, that, and you guys harmonized together, you sang in church together. Was Alan, meeting Alan Clark had to be a huge, huge event in your life that really set the course?
Yeah, I didn't know it then when I was 6 years old. but absolutely. And as a matter of fact, several months ago, I took my wife Amy to see the Salford Lads Club. And I saw the very stage where Alan Clark and I did our first performance. And yes, Alan Clark has been very important in my life. He's, I think, one of the best lead singers of any pop group around. And as a matter of fact, he left the Hollies because he couldn't sing anymore. But he's been back in the studio, and he's made a really fine album.
Well, good. I'm glad he's still doing it. It was great to see the Hollies get their due in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and you got put in for the second time. But as far as the Holly songs, you mentioned you're opening with Bus Stop, and I noticed a couple other tracks on the set list. Had you played these songs, though? I mean, over the years with CSN,
no.
you really didn't.
No. When you have a new lover in your life, you don't talk about the old lover unless you're stupid. You know? So I never talked to David and Stephen about the Hollies. They understood that we'd had 15 top 10 records before I left. You know, they understood all that. There was nothing really to say. You know, and what was I going to do? Go and boast to the Hollies about this new sound that I'd found and that my heart told me to follow? I mean, when David and Stephen and I, you know, made our three voices into one, you know, for the very first time in Jonah's living room, that moment changed my life for sure. And I realized, you know, 40 seconds into the bloody song that I would have to leave the Hollies and go back to England and you know, undo my life and come to America. For what? To follow that sound that we had created.
Yeah.
That's how important it was to me.
And you're writing these songs. You've met David Crosby by the time you're ready to leave the Hollies, and you realize there's a whole new brand of music you want to play, but you still did a demo, I think, of Marrakesh Express, or the Hollies recorded it, and it was like, no, that was considered a waste for you, right?
Yes. The truth is that the Marrakesh Express needs the energy of a train driving through it.
Yeah.
And that's what Stephen did so brilliantly with his guitar overdose, you know.
Yeah.
But on the Hollies version, it's just flat. There's no energy there.
But you did put a demo on Over the Years. Is there not a demo version
that's
available?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the demo version was what I played the Hollies. I said, here's my song, let's cut it.
And is that you double tracked on that singing, or somebody singing in the background with you? Okay.
I think it's me double tracked.
Okay. Yeah, I was just listening to the White Album demos the Beatles put out with the new I think it's the third White Album. But it's really fun to listen to demos. I love doing that.
It sure is, because you're listening to the initial creation spot, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, in reading Wild Tales 2, there's a story about you guys having some kind of audition for Apple Records, and George Harrison and Peter Asher show up, and they end up saying, not for Apple.
Whoa, really?
Well, you know what? I never knew why. I could never understand, neither could David, neither could why Peter Asher and George Harrison listened to us sing that entire first record with a couple of acoustic guitars in their ears. And you know that if we're standing in front of fucking George Harrison, you know we want it to be great. And we were. And they turned us down, and I never could figure it out. I found out a month ago why.
Why?
Peter and George really wanted us on Apple, but George was realizing that Apple Records was about to fold.
No kidding.
And they didn't want such music that they loved on a record label that was going to be no more in a few months.
Wow. Yeah, it was. There was some terrible mismanagement and Alan Klein and so much. But anyway, of course.
Going back to the set list and thinking of the Beatles, I see that you covered A Day in the Life. Why A Day in the Life?
If you could play guitar and sing, wouldn't you sing play A Day in the Life?
Maybe. I wanted to know why you would.
Because it's a great song.
It is.
And it took a certain amount of balls and a certain amount of courage for three of us, you know, to try and recreate the feeling of Day in the Life. But we managed, and it goes down very, very well in concert.
And you played Blackbird. I'm a huge Beatles fan, so naturally I took great interest when you talked
Me
about
too.
It. Yeah. Well, when they were really breaking, and I think it was John or Paul pulled you aside in 63 and said, hey, you want to hear a new song we've done? And they demoed Misery for you?
They didn't demo it. They sang it, John in one ear and Paul in the other.
Wow.
Yeah. We were in Stoke on Trent, which is just south of Manchester, in the Midlands of England. We were doing a show, the Hollies and the Beatles together. And, obviously, there's sound checks in the afternoon and stuff, and they've done their sound check, and we were about to do ours, and Paul came up and said, hey, you want to hear a new song? Said, fuck yeah, are you kidding? You've got to understand something. I've known the Beatles since November the 19th, 1959.
Wow. Wait, was that Paul, Paul, John, George, and Pete?
John, no, Paul, George, Pete and Pete? Wasn't there.
Who's?
It was John, Paul, George, and the drummer from the Big Three, which was a band in Liverpool that was great. Hmm. And that was them. They were singing a Buddy Holly song called Think It Over. It was a talent contest. A very interesting night. Listen to this night. This is November the 19th in 1959. There's a guy called Carol Levis, and he was a Canadian promoter. What he would do was he'd go to towns, stir up the local talent, put the show on, and at the end, the talent would come out, and he would stand there and put his hand over the head of the talent, and whoever got applause won. Me and Alan Clark, we had done with two acoustic guitars, a song by Conway Twitty called It's Only Make-Believe.
Oh, yeah, great song.
And the Beatles may have won, but they had to catch the last bus home to Liverpool and couldn't be around for the jury.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they were, I assume in 1959, they weren't quite as polished as we saw them on February 9th, 1964 on the Ed Sullivan Show.
No, they weren't. But man, did they get their shit together fast.
Yeah, they did. In fact, hearing Sgt. Pepper's, I know you mentioned, was another huge moment for you. And
Absolutely.
You played it. Did you play for the guys in the Turtles and kind of blew their mind? You had an advanced copy?
After getting them as high as I could possibly get them.
Graham Nash is with us March the 20th at the Royal Oak Music Theater. How often are you going to get a chance to see Graham Nash in a place like the... Boy, it's a great theater. Have you played there before? You probably haven't.
I don't think I have, but like I said, I'm really loving, you know, being able to see the expression on the audience's face and seeing their enjoyment at what we're doing.
I wonder how many Detroit venues you've played in your various incarnations.
Ah, man, the first time we played was, I think, Cobo Hawk.
Yeah?
I'm not even sure it exists anymore.
It actually does. No more shows there, though. Well, are there shows there?
No.
Was that something
Arena's gone.
The boxer? Was it something to do with the Joe Louis, the boxer?
Joe Louis Arena?
Yeah.
And then I'm sure you probably played Pine Knob. Did you guys play the Sheds as CSM?
Many times.
Oh, yeah.
Many times.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Any smaller event? Well, I saw CSN at the Fox Theater, which was a great show.
How could you not, you know, love those Fox Theaters? Thank God they haven't been turned into 7-Elevens.
Oh, the architecture in Detroit is even more photographable in case you're bringing your camera with you.
And I hear that Detroit is getting back together after, you know, that terrible housing situation.
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of issues. But, yeah, it's much, you know, compared to even 10 years ago, it's much better. And 20, 30 years ago, oh, my God, we've come so far.
Hey, Graham, now somebody asked you about a year ago what the state of CSNN was. Is there any change in what you felt?
There is no state of CSN.
So
we will never make another note of music.
Wow.
It's a shame.
It is a shame.
No, why?
But
either?
But it's reality. Yeah. Why? Because we have to like each other if we're going to make good music. Right. We have to like each other. We have to love each other. And right now we don't. And that's the way it is.
And you don't see any change in that?
No.
Well, what a shame.
It is a shame, but you know what the truth is? Look what we did in the last 50 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, and as I said, all of you can go out individually, and you have incredible set lists, so it's just, I mean, that it's the friendship part that's the part that's most disturbing.
Graham, being inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice, what's your take on the Hall of Fame inducting maybe non-rock acts? Do you even care?
I care to this point. Look at all the people that are in there. I mean, look at it. I mean, everyone from the Beatles to Buddy Holly to the Everly Brothers to Aretha to all those incredible people. And if they think that we deserve to be in there, well, God bless them. Mm-hmm. You know, why not more times? I mean, I think CSNY is a much different band than CSN.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Did you see the Grammys last night?
I did not, no.
You did not? Okay.
I saw the opening, and I saw what a lovely breath of fresh air, you know, the host.
Alicia Keys.
Alicia Keys. She was great. I thought she brought a real breath of fresh air.
She played...
But after that, go ahead.
She played two pianos at the same time, Graham. I thought that was impressive.
That is impressive. How many hands does she have?
Only two.
I mean, she didn't do it very well, but no, I'm just kidding. Oh. I'm just kidding. I mean, I could play two at the same time, just not very good.
They also did a Neil song.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Dolly Parton was honored, and they sang a medley, and Dolly sang After the Gold Rush.
What a great song.
Yeah. They did change the And I Felt Like Getting High to I Felt Like I Could Cry, and I was a little bit bummed about that. But
well, you know. But that's why we're hippies and they're not.
Yeah.
Has there ever been somebody we've wanted to perform with that you never were able to cross paths with?
No. No. We've always done what the fuck we wanted to do.
Yeah. Well, even later in the last two decades, you've crossed paths with a lot of people and worked with different ones. I'm like, God, is there somebody out there? But I don't know. You've done it all, I suppose.
Well, there's a lot more to go.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. And March 20th, again, Royal Oak Music Theater. There's one thing out of the book I just really was dying to ask you about, because you describe yourself as a pretty straight arrow who's kind of coming out of his shell, and you meet Crosby and, of course, Mama Cass, and you get high and you start getting high, and, you know, things are kind of changing and musically you're opening up. But you mentioned that Crosby was the kind of guy, he seemed to have just an incredible sex drive, and you can be just passing through the house and he'll be on the phone getting a BJ from two girls at the same time. And I thought, you know, for a guy, because I relate to being a straight arrow, who I was at one time, but and I thought, I don't, that would, it seems like you, that would be something hard to get used to, but he always had naked women around, didn't he?
Yes, I'm afraid so. And it was a little shocking at first, because I am English and, you know, I am a little more reserved than David and Stephen, but it was fun watching Crosby and his life.
Boy, did he live his life, man.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
He sure
There's a doc on him right now. Out.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's called Remember My Name.
Is that a joke?
No.
Oh, it's for real.
Huh.
It's new?
Oh, no, it's for real. It was just shown at Sundance.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so it's not... Okay.
Yeah. We're looking forward to a lot of stuff from Sundance this year.
Are you in it?
Yes, I'm in it.
In a good way?
Yeah.
How?
No.
Oh.
Not in a good way.
Oh, that's...
But they didn't interview you for it?
I didn't want to be.
Oh. Okay.
That's such a shame. It really is.
Yeah,
It's a loss, but...
It is, but it's what it is, you know. Let's get on with life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over the Years is the CD that came out in 2018. 30 tracks of Graham Nash going through the Hollies, up through CSNY, CSN, and even a brand new track from, is it 2018? Is that new this last year?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, Myself at Last, yes. There have never been a greatest hits of my music. Yes, the Hollies, yes, CSN, yes, CSNY, but not of me particularly. And I went on the web and I talked to people and made a list of 15 of my fans' favorite songs of mine. And then I realized that, you know, a lot of people have bought that music before, maybe several times in different vinyl to CDs and DVDs, etc.,
and digital
files and stuff, and albums, yeah. And so I thought, how can I make this a little more interesting? So I went into my archive, which I've been fastidiously, you know, taking care of for all these years, and put on there 15 demos. And people are finding it fascinating to hear, you know, the initial spark of how a song that they love was created.
And I love seeing songs from Songs for Beginners on there, too, which you're playing live in this show, by the way, at the Royal Oak Music Theater. You're playing Military Madness and a couple others. And I thought Songs for Beginners was a fantastic album that it seems like I don't hear about it that much, but I thought it was fantastic.
Well, let me tell you what I'm doing in the end of September. I'm going to get a band together. I'm going to come out and do Songs for Beginners from start to finish.
Wow.
Take an intermission and come back and do Wild Tales from start to finish. Hmm.
Fantastic. And I know this tour is taking you all over the place, and I feel like I have a lot of energy for my age, but I don't know, Graham. I don't know how you do it. Good for you.
Yeah, well, when you get as old as me, you know, you get a certain vitalization. Like I said to you before, I'm feeling very good.
That's great, because I heard you in an interview say that you really sort of, for about 10 years, you just didn't feel like writing, or you had lost your spark, kind of, and then all of a sudden it returned in 2014, and now it seems like you can't be stopped.
That's right.
Wow.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing you on March the 20th. Graham Nash, it's such a pleasure to talk to you. I'm such a huge fan. There was nothing terribly challenging that was going to come out of me, because I'm such a fan.
Well, Drew and Mark and Trudy, thank you very much for talking to me.
Thank you,
Graham, and good luck with the shows.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
What a cool dude.
I know. I swear, I was reading this book today, I'm thinking, you know, what a rock nerd I am, because I'm making all these notes and stuff. I'm thinking, no, this is history. This is history.
Yes.
It really is. And I say that every time I read another Beatles book where I know 75% of the stuff already.
That great moment in history when David Crosby was getting a blowjob from two girls
chicks.
While on the phone.
And Graham just walks through.
Gross.
I know.
Could you imagine?
He sounds like he hasn't.
What do you mean he just walked through? Where was Crosby
They were
at?
Living together, and Crosby had two nude chicks.
Was he out in the like family room? The
yes,
common
yes,
area?
Yes. He was talking business on the phone. Two chicks are just worshiping him.
Didn't he? He couldn't do it in his bedroom?
I guess not. I don't think
did
he
did not
cared.
Roll that way.
No, did Graham walk?
He didn't roll that way.
Did he walk in and then just turn around and walk out, or did he walk through?
I think he walked through.
That's a solid move.
I know.
Did he raise like his glass? Like, hey, how you doing, David? It's like fun.
He probably acted like it didn't.
He's
know
seen it
happening.
Before.
You know, Crosby reminds me, and how sad. I mean, Graham could not be more honest about that. We'll never make another lick of music again.
Yep. Well, I asked about why, but he thought I said why.
Yeah.
Because I wanted Young back.
Yeah, exactly. Nash Young, Nash Stills Young. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, they still talk, so.
Neil is angry because Crosby was doing an interview, and he said something at the end of the interview about Neil's new girlfriend. And I don't know if that was Daryl Hannah.
Yes. Or
it was Daryl Hannah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Neil's like, well, fuck Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Young. It's over.
Yeah.
And Neil's like that. Neil is very strange.
He's
a character.
No
reactionary.
He's a difficult
Daryl
character.
Daryl Hannah, ouch, that hurts.
He seems like, I remember hearing him talk about how he wrote like five or six of his greatest songs while laying on the floor of a bathroom with a temperature of 103.
Oh,
so,
Neil?
Yeah.
So, there's so many
That's so fake.
That sounds stories like
that. Sounds so fake.
I never know how much to make of them, but it seems like people have these creative bursts where they just get so much done in such a short time.
Yeah, but you've had a high fever laying on the bathroom floor before. Are you thinking of great things then? No.
I wasn't.
It was hallucinating. I don't know.
Don't feel good.
Boy, that reminds me.
I think it's
me.
More like, oh, this fucking sucks.
That reminds me.
That was the name of the song, this fucking sucks.
Cinnamon Girl while he was laying on the floor. He did.
At I played that song for Charlotte the other day. She did not like it.
She didn't like Cinema Girl?
No.
What's wrong with that girl?
I was singing
guitar solo was awesome.
I said, this is a real song. She didn't believe me first that it was a real song, and then she did not want to hear it and left the room.
Oh, because it was Cinnamon Girl?
Yeah, I was singing it to her.
Oh.
Because, I don't know, she was eating some of cinnamon.
Not sure if that's a great choice of a song for a child.
Oh, nobody cared about the meaning. It was just the hook.
I'm disappointed because that sounds like a beautiful daddy-daughter moment.
She always leaves. She's kind of a dick.
I must say, Neil Young
treats me like shit.
He is in the upper quadrant of my favorites.
Yes,
he is so fucking great.
He is.
And these guys together and all their combinations. That Stills Young album is great. That was going to be a CSNY album. But Crosby, reading about David Crosby reminds me of people I've known, not, of course, like David Crosby, but people who, you know, when Graham meets him, he changes his life because he's so creative. He's, of course, very high all the time. And Graham said he could handle incredible quantities of substances when he first met him. Just amazing. And function pretty well. Function extremely well.
Well, you know what happens with people who do that, though, is they have to re-up the liver contract.
Exactly.
Somebody, yeah.
Well, I forgot about the liver.
Yeah. Burns out pretty fast.
Yeah, he not only toasted a couple livers, but he also became very erratic, and he also became a freebaser. And freebasers, he's talking about one album they're making. And at this point, they're so loaded, they can just rent the studio around the clock. I think it was Criterion in Miami. And Crosby's there with his girlfriend, and they're doing so much freebasing that Crosby has sores all over his body.
Ah.
She goes from being this ravishing, beautiful girl to looking just haggard as hell. And, of course, they can't count on him. He's missing for hours and days, and they're trying to get this record done. And, you know, meanwhile, he's carrying firearms all the time and turning on torches to torch the free base, I guess, and leaving torches going all over the place.
Safe and normal.
And all those things that made him so attractive in the beginning, not the partying, but just the creativity and the craziness and, you know, a lot to write about and a lot of experiences, it all starts going south. And, you know, where he was very ballsy, and he talks about a Hollies press conference where Crosby's become a friend and Crosby's there and somebody asks a dumb question and Crosby tells him, hey, because they're about to answer it.
Right.
He says, knock it off with the dumb questions. And sort of, you know, everybody sort of reassesses and starts, you know, the question, what shoes do you wear? You know, where do you get your hair cut? You know,
and stupid so, question.
Yeah. He just said that, you know, he was a breath of fresh air at the time because they were, the Hollies were pretty straight ahead,
poppy,
little squares. Yeah, poppy. Yeah. And he, Crosby was a great thing in his life at the time, but it just, over time, And I, you know, I remember people who were fun drunks for a long time, and then they became not fun drunks.
Right.
Which is really unfortunate when you realize that, oh, yeah, this guy that was so much fun, he's a full-blown alcoholic, and he can't get up without, you know, having a drink.
There's a Friends episode about it. Fun Bobby.
Fun, really? Trudy, this is great. Once again, you bring art to teach us about
real life.
What happened with Fun Bobby?
Except it's Friends.
I know.
You know, this is probably the most shallow place you've gone to teach us something.
Well, Fun Bobby was great, and they were really looking forward to him to come to town, and then he came to town. He was a bummer because somebody had died, and then he had to stop drinking, and then he was no fun anymore, so the entire premise of Fun Bobby was just wiped out.
That reminds me of my new favorite show, Love After Lockup.
Yeah.
And, you know, the beauty of this show is that it picks
How's Garrett doing? Is Garrett okay?
No, Garrett's not doing so well.
I had a blast watching Garrett after the show yesterday.
That thing is blowing up. Garrett's in prison from the age of 18 to 25. He gets out. This girl's been talking to him for 4 years and visiting him and falling in love, and they're supposed to get married. The problem is these girls, mostly, and guys who are waiting for girls who are in prison, they're waiting so long that the minute they get out, well, the girls in particular, want to get married right away. I've been waiting all this time. And the guys are like, holy fuck, I've been locked up in this tiny cell for 18 years.
Oh.
And I really, a big wedding planning and all, it's sort of overwhelming.
Yeah.
You guys just gotten out of prison.
You don't want to do it when you haven't been in prison.
Being in prison. Maybe not.
Yeah.
And there's one girl who's in there for hair. You saw the girls in there for hair.
Yeah, she was hot.
Very hot. She was a model.
I mean, before prison.
Well, she looked pretty good on the show, honestly.
Yeah, I guess
she looked
relative,
really good.
Yeah.
But her modeling pictures were incredible.
Mm-hmm.
She gets busted. There she is, actual audio. Heroin and heroin distribution. So she gets 7 years. She gets out. And it was interesting. He's a real straight arrow. He's really square. But he's a good guy. He's solid. He goes to meet her parents, and they're kind of like, you know, she's been through a lot, you know. Be good to our daughter. So we're like, what are you fucking talking to? Why don't you talk to her?
Yeah,
fuck
I ain't
you.
The ex-con here. Yeah. That's what he should have
said. That's what I would have said. But anyway, he takes it well, and, you know, everybody's warning him. Hey, she's been in prison. And, of course, she's so hot that, you know, they just go, yeah, but she's so hot. I mean, it's worth waiting for. She's so hot. Well, he sets up a meeting.
That's right. Lock her up.
Lock her up.
A drop kills me. I don't know why.
Were you guys there when she was supposed to show up at the modeling appointment?
Yeah.
Yeah, she didn't. And so the lady interviewed him because he was there. I mean, Brandon did have a point. It is kind of almost too scripted.
Yeah, seems like it.
Well,
I don't want to burst your Love After Lockout bubble.
You're bursting a little bit right now. It's not scripted. It's reality TV.
If someone misses a job interview, of course, the partner is going to show up, first of all, and then they're going to interview him for it.
Okay, if we have to break the fourth wall, I'll tell you what I think happened. I think they were there to shoot the interview, and then she didn't show up. So they probably said, well, why don't you come over here so we can create.
I'm sure, yeah.
So he talks later, well, she's a great model, and she says, I'm sick. I'm by the side of the road. I had to pull over. I don't feel well. And then so he goes and gets her, and she says, I think I might be pregnant.
Don't feel good.
What?
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And so they go get a pregnancy test. She goes to the bathroom.
We got to get you and that monster that's in your gut down to Mexico ASAP.
Is that him?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's him.
Jeez.
Meanwhile, she's being a real bitch. It's like, what the fucking bitch? Because she comes out of the bathroom. He's like, well? And she goes, well, wait a second. What's the big hurry? And he's like, you were taking a pregnancy test. He's like, well, I have to tell you the first second I get back. And
Yeah, right.
You should. Well, then the next day he goes home.
And that's right. Lock her up.
And she's on the floor in the fetal position. And
oh, no. She's using it again.
We've got a relapse going on here.
Don't feel good.
That sucks.
That was so fast.
You're going to a rehab.
I think my favorite moment that I saw, and I didn't see that much, was when Garrett was finally allowed to drink, so he goes to...
Scores,
that's right, in Tampa.
He's engaged, by the way, to the girl. Mm-hmm. She's waited 4 years for him to get out of prison, and he wants to go party with his buddies more than he wants to party with her.
So he does, spends the night in his car because he doesn't want to come home and get yelled at, which, you know...
Well, they partied after Scores closed till like 5 in the morning, so...
Yeah, and then didn't he stay out all day, too, because he didn't want
to
come home?
He went straight to work. He was late to work.
on his first day.
Yeah, his first
that's
day.
That's right. Because who wouldn't go get fucked up the night before their first day?
It was the
work?
First night he could drink because of his parole.
It's my first day.
Well, couldn't he
wasn't
say,
allowed to test positive for alcohol. It was the first day he could drink, so he wanted to go party with his friends at Scores.
Didn't he start at work 3 days after that? Or
I don't know. I don't think it was great planning on Garrett's part.
But when Garrett finally gets home and he's confronted by his fiance, she's upset because you promised your first drink that we would get drunk together.
Oh, for God's sake.
Don't start fighting with me.
She's mad because he didn't get fucked up with her.
I know. He is an incorrigible ass, but she's a pain in the ass. Oh, my God. Yeah. Is she high maintenance?
Yeah.
She wants this big
wedding. Turn off the water.
I've been dreaming of a big wedding all my life. Her father's like, this guy just got out of prison. What the fuck is the hurry? It's like, big wedding. And she's bugging him. You better spend some money on my engagement ring. He's like, he just got out of prison. Where's he going to have any fucking money from, you idiot?
Well, the 3 months he made in prison. What, 35
tomorrow today? Night, I am proposing to that dirty whore.
I'm still stunned that she's been wanting this wedding for her whole life and a guy out of prison.
I know.
I think you'd think he was good looking, Trudy, I bet. Trudy would find him
yeah,
good
he was. I think chicks would find him hot.
I bet he spends too much time
bit
on
of
his
a
hair.
Bring up, yeah.
Oh, have you seen him?
I just see this one picture.
Yeah. Is that Garrett? Let me see.
Yeah, that's
Garrett.
Garrett rocks, man.
I think if we had a locked up live tournament of 64, I think Trudy Heat would be a number two seed at least for you.
Okay.
he's got some cool green blobs.
There's a lot of
green blobs on this show. Oh, my God. There's some people who are just so green blobbed, but they've been in prison for a long, long time. So.
He could do better than her.
I kind of think so, too.
I thought so, too. Yeah.
She's not bad.
If that was maybe the old ball and chain, that's the new one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one that was waiting 4 years for him. She's actually got a pretty nice body on her.
Huge tits.
Oh.
But she's not. She wore a real tight dress to the. When he got out of prison. It was nice of her. But then when he started staying out late with his buddy, she wouldn't put out.
Oh.
She announced to her friends that there's no sex going on.
Well, yeah. I mean,
now he's in prison again.
Oh, is he in prison again?
He is?
No, he's in a prison of love.
Oh, yes. Oh,
he can't get any.
He is imprisoned.
Oh, if you like prison food and penis.
They have split.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, man.
All right, so let's see. We got to get to the Grammys because there's definitely more to talk about. And there's other things, too. Bezos.
Oh.
And more. But due to the tremendous demand, Zot Ford and Holly is conducting their amazing Key for Key event again. Exchange your current vehicle for a brand new 2018 or 19 Ford without spending a dime out of your pocket. Their goal is to match or lower your monthly payment. They'll terminate the remainder of your loan or lease no matter what you owe. And this features a straight fob for fob exchange. Give them the keys or fob to your old turd mobile, and Zot Ford will provide you with the keys or fob to your brand new Ford. Plus, they'll make your first month's payment. And it's nice not to have a car payment for a month.
Even for a month, yeah.
Even for a month. No hassles, no gimmicks, no pressure. And if you don't want to buy from Maz, there's plenty of other people there because he does have his day off, of course, and he's kind of busy with her. Although he had a great month last month, he was employee of the month, so who knows? And we do appreciate all you people who are keeping us busy at Zot Ford, our original advertiser on the show. Mm-hmm. Only from our friends at DealsInTheD.com, and Dr. Yaldo is still back in 2019. Whoa, boy, are we glad to have Dr. Yaldo around. We love our sponsors who support us, and we're so pleased when you support them to complete the circle. 50 of our listeners in 2018 trusted the vision of Dr. Yaldo, and we're thrilled the results. Whether it was the custom LASIK or the multifocal implants for people 50 plus, people were getting rid of the glasses, the reading glasses, the contacts, and so on, and seeing better than 20/20 in many cases, which is called supervision. Freedom, lifestyle, convenience, reading tiny type, seeing distant objects with HD precision without glasses or contacts. See Dr. Yaldo if you'd like to consult. The evaluation is free. Then there's a Drew and Mike discount. Call 1-800-398-EYES, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to Yaldo Eye Center. And let's see. Ooh, Adam, yeah. Adam, 30 years of Adam. Actually, in their 31st year now, in 2019, as they started in 1988. Heading home at the end of a long workday should feel good, but for men with a failing marriage, home can be far more stressful than work. In fact, reading about Graham Nash, he was married for 38 years and got divorced. Was it 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's with a 39-year-old hot!
Nice.
And he met her when they were at their photography thing together.
Yeah, photography seems to have opened his eyes to some other things. Yeah, I thought that was...
So there's a bunch of nudes of her floating around. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, are there? No. Well, no, I don't think she's nude.
Well, I'm sure he took some for his private collection.
Oh, no doubt. Well, he's a professional. I mean, he needs good subjects.
Artist.
They're not nudes. They're boudoirs.
But I was thinking about that.
A real photographer takes them.
How many guys that are 74, 75 get divorced after a long, long marriage, rock and roll marriage like that? And then she would have been about Graham's age and seems to be slight trade-up involvement.
Man. He's a rock star, man.
I know he's a rock star.
Okay. One of the perks.
Neil Young did the same thing, though. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
After
Carrie
all those
Snodgrass.
Years married to Peggy.
Oh, Peggy. That's right. Carrie Snodgrass was the first wife, and he traded up to Daryl Hannah. I'm not sure how big a trade-up that was. Daryl Hannah.
She once was a big trade-up.
She was.
But there's...
I'm not sure how big the trade-up
was. Daryl Hannah, ouch, that hurts.
Put some wear.
If you're looking to trade up, it might be time to call Adam. The American Divorce Association for Men. There are advantages to being the spouse to file for divorce first. If divorce is your future, get divorced on your own terms. Adam, aggressive, diligent, uncompromising representation for men facing divorce since 1988. I was talking to somebody who was telling me they were getting divorced, and they were saying, I don't think we're going to even need lawyers, because it's... I'm like, I think you'd want to discuss a couple things with a lawyer at least.
You'll change your mind. Yeah. When it's too late.
Exactly.
Why call Adam. Don't you just file for divorce?
Kids involved, too, which made it seem even weirder to me. But call Adam at 248-284-4280. 248-284-4280.
Before we leave Love After Lockup, here's Garrett getting married. And there's a twist. There's a twist involved.
I got married.
You know, we were writing letters back and forth, you know, visitation.
Well spoken, Trudy.
And now... We're together, you know, and we're about to get married. This is the start of our life.
Looks like they're getting married at a public beach in Jacksonville. I don't know. I'm totally guessing.
Tampa.
You look handsome.
Did all this for you?
He did all of that for her. What a nice guy.
What do you do?
Set up the wedding where there's no guests.
He does not look happy.
Where's her dad?
I want to marry Garrett no matter what anyone thinks, because... I believe he's the love of my life. Uh-oh. I love that you did all this for me.
Uh-oh.
What?
I just don't know, Garrett. It's not what I want.
What?
Awkward.
I did all of that for you.
I never thought I'd be getting ready for my wedding in a bathroom. And
where else are you going to get ready for your wedding than a bathroom?
Walking down the aisle without my dad.
Consider that a
divorce. None of her friends and family are here.
Oh, she's married to the married
thing. I just feel like I'm doing this
to being married.
Well, this was a dream wedding.
And I sacrificed so much.
You set this all up.
I just feel like this is for me. I wanted a big wedding. I wanted
a beautiful
dress.
To do? He just got out of prison. It's the best he could do. It's pretty good.
You look so handsome.
You, that's all you care about.
He is so spaced out, by the way.
Hey, it's really,
I love you and I want to marry you, but I
want to do it
right.
Very bored by the conversation.
The only person more bored is the pastor.
I'm so on.
I'm sorry. I love you. I love you, okay?
Yeah, so
have a kiss?
No.
Are we going to go bone now?
Can I have a kiss?
Does he really want to give her a kiss when...
Awkward. Oh, you see him look away.
This isn't what I thought of being. Can I have a kiss?
What do we do now?
What do we do now? You leave or go home?
I guess leave.
Yeah, duh.
Go home.
That's what I just said.
We're still together. We're still in love.
Oh, no.
We're still happy.
Oh, where'd the pastor go? He disappeared.
I don't really know where we go from here. You know, I got turned down at the altar, which just sucks, you know?
I don't think so, Garrett.
Like my flowers, though. Wait a minute. We can still put them in a vase.
Yeah, cool.
I like flowers.
I never thought I'd say this, but dating Garrett while he was in prison was so much easier than dating Garrett while he's been home.
He's in prison. He's not going anywhere.
Wait a minute. Okay.
He's look at all that. Look at all that he did right there. He set that all up.
Oh. What a job he did.
It's basically an archway and a couple rose petals on a beach.
Don't look, Drew. You're getting the whole thing's getting ruined for you.
I already pretty much saw the last episode of this season.
Her, oh, Dominic and Mary will live together.
Her mini skirt bridal dress is kind of
hot, huh?
The girl that was with Garrett, you mean?
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh,
spoiler. Do you know how much is this dress worth?
Wait, what happened?
Oh. She violated her parole, Miss Heroin.
Oh, God. She sent
what
back
happened to this dude?
Oh, I'll tell you what happened.
Oh, he looks so bummed. That guy drives me nuts because he doesn't have a case for his iPhone. And he's going to drop it and break it. Every time they show him talking on his phone, there's no case.
Mm. That guy, she was in prison for a long time, and she was about to get out. She shows up the day. Yeah, she's very hot. Okay, he claims to be 49 years old. Is that believable?
That grizzled dude sitting on the front porch?
Yeah. We get a close-up of him?
Yeah, but here's the
I thought he was like 60.
Real quick, here's the final note on Garrett. And what's her name, Jonna?
I don't even know her name. She's such a blaring...
1 month after filming, they broke off their engagement and chose to go their separate ways.
Oh, that's...
So consider... Be lucky that she stood you up at your shitty altar that you did for her.
Her father was right. As much as she argued with him, he was right.
Fathers are always right.
It was a good move on his part. If he initiated the breakup.
Fine, I don't ever want to see you again. Go away, I'm dating somebody else. I hate you.
Or do you think it was more like this?
Babe, wait. Babe, wait.
The former.
Babe, no.
I love Hot Rod. God, Hot Rod is what an underrated comedy. Was that in the underrated comedy list?
It was not on that list, no.
Trudy, how old is he?
He does look 60. How old is he for real?
He claims to be 49.
She's guy with no cell phone case?
Yeah.
No way.
I agree. She is supposedly 39. I thought she was younger than that. She takes great skanky photos from prison. And this guy was really digging the skanky photos.
He's got the wave pattern across his forehead.
Yeah,
like
there's a lot of...
Nice picture that is. Look at that.
He has a lot of different tones to his skin color.
Selfie.
So anyway, she's supposed to get out. He drives all the way there. And they're like, she's not getting out today. Get out of here. So he promptly leaves, pulls over, throws up by the side of the road because he thinks that she scammed him because he was sending her $200 a month. Oh. And at some point, she had multiple dudes sending her money because she takes great skanky pictures.
Yeah,
so you can really make a lot of money with skanky photos if you're in prison.
Really?
Yeah, you just tell a bunch of guys you're in love with them, and when you get out, you're going to be with them. And they're like, oh, my God, I want her.
You love me?
Because the one girl who kind of... makes a living of dating prison people for some reason. She was given $200 a month to her guy.
That's her.
Okay.
Thanks for some vodka.
I thought it was.
No. Yeah. You're talking about the other girl with the terrible teeth.
Yeah, the one that should be taking the $200 a month and putting them towards veneers.
She's given $200 a month to that dude. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Meanwhile, her friend.
Poor guy. Okay, this guy's given her $20,000, I think, and he's about. Okay, so he throws it by the side of the road. He gets home. He calls her attorney. What's going on? And attorney's like, you better come in. So for some reason, this guy never dresses up. He puts a tie on to go visit her attorney. I'm like, why is he dressing up to see her attorney about why she's getting a prison?
It's a law.
If I threw up a little bit.
But he goes in there, and the guy says, she got caught with heroin and crystal meth.
What?
Yeah. In her cell.
Oh, man.
So she's facing 12 more years.
Oh, boy.
Oh, what a
bummer. He can't wait that long. That's not going to last.
Bummer.
No, he said, I'll be 61. I was like, 61? That means you're 49. Are you kidding me?
Maybe he's just bad at math.
Could be.
Just hoping.
He doesn't know his birthday.
I don't know.
They allege he's 49.
Well, there's I use a calculator for that.
There's a lot of downside to the prison girlfriend boyfriend that I think you'll learn.
Man, all that money.
So it's very educational.
The downside seems when they get out, right?
Yeah, because the really bad side starts when they get out. That's the worst part.
The relationship
I would agree.
Is just fine.
Unless you're Garrett, he's living it up now.
Yeah. The
single and ready to.
Did you see the black couple?
The black couple. Oh,
the virgin.
She's kind of large. She's not a virgin. She's got three kids. He's been in there for 18 years, and she also wants a dream wedding, and she's got these three kids. They're in. Wait, are they in? She's Mormon, so I think she's in. Where do all the Mormons live? Salt Lake City? Yeah, I believe she's in Utah. He's in California. He gets out, and the idea is he's going to go to Utah, marry her, and they're going to complete the family. She's got a 15-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 4-year-old. And the problem is he gets out, and his parole officer says, you can't leave Los Angeles County. What are you talking about?
Right.
And so he's like, I'm just going to go there, get married, and come back. And his buddy's like, dude, what, you want to go back to prison? Are you crazy? So then he decides you better tell her. And so he says, I can't come to Utah this weekend. How about you come here? And she's like, I don't want to come there. Anyway, she drags the three kids there. She's like, okay, go to bed. We're going to get up 3:00 in the morning and we're going to go to California. And the older ones are like, they're really not happy about this inmate she's about to marry. They're not so hyped up as she is. They go on the trip. They get to his dumpy place he's staying. He's staying in a room. And the girl who's 12 won't get out of the car. And so the mother offers her $20 to get out of the car. And she still won't move. She says, I'll give you $40. Get out of the car.
Oh, well, then you stay even longer.
Yeah,
see how high mom's going to go.
She will not get out of the car. Her brother eventually talks her out.
What a terrible negotiator mom is.
And then they go to the beach. And that's when he reveals that you're going to have to move here and I'll marry you here. Which she agrees to.
What?
And then,
what is this chick's problem?
Maybe the worst negotiator I've ever seen.
And on her wedding day, you would think she was Meghan Markle because the guests are waiting like 2 hours. Because
her dad wasn't there?
No, her shoes aren't there. And the shoes were everything to her.
And they blackface shoes?
There's something wrong. What's that? Oh, no, they weren't blackface. They weren't.
Goddamn shoes.
And then there's
about your shoes?
Something wrong with the curling iron. And these people are just waiting. And she's like, I don't care. I'm the bride.
At one point, did the
groom... You can wait all day for me. If your mama gets murdered, I don't want to hear about today. This is my day.
If your mama gets murdered?
Yeah, she did. She said that. If so your mother dies, father dies, I don't care. I'm the bride.
That's classy.
Tell me afterwards.
Did he mutter under his breath, I'd rather be in fucking prison. Deal with this shit. Can someone please put me back in prison?
He seemed to want to marry her. I didn't understand it.
Well, yeah, she's the worst negotiator, getting whatever he wanted out of her.
She wasn't that hot either.
No, she's huge.
Yep. Hey, did I mention the Hall Financial Hotline opening?
You did.
Back in the day? Okay. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for a refi or you want to shorten your loan or whatever, 248-308-5000.
I know we're going to jump into Grammys in a moment, but I want to hit you with three quick cameos.
Oh, new cameos. Oh, right.
Absolutely.
Just three new ones that I found that were pretty interesting. This one I like here.
Excited.
Hi there, Sheila. Your cousin Karen tells me that your 51st birthday is coming up, and I just wanted to wish you a very, very happy birthday from here.
All right,
makes me very sad. Dave Foley from
Hey, everybody. It's me, Dave Foley, again. Coming to you from the theater in Tennessee, in Knoxville, in fact, just to prove you that I am in show business.
How much for Dave Foley?
$3,000.
You're doing some shows with the Who's Live Is It Anyway?
I'm going 50 or 75.
It is $100.
Whoa!
Dave Foley.
He thinks he's in Andy Dick country.
He is, man.
Yeah, Dave's funny. I mean, Dave. He's on news radio.
Uh-huh.
How can he need to do cameo?
I don't know.
Oh, news radio's been over for a long time.
How can this next
one tour
have
and
to do cameo?
He's got to have money.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's up, Danielle?
Oh, shut up.
Let me say something to you. My man Jonathan got at me, and he wanted to let you know. That you are the
they
most
so
confident,
in the
loving individual that he has ever met. He says you're
Ice
powerful.
Tea?
He says it is the most crazy experience having you as a girlfriend for the last 6 months. Aww. He wants you to be his Valentine, and I'm sure you want him to be your Valentine. Think about it, Danielle. Jonathan went as far as...
shut up, T.
Jesus.
This is great, Ice T.
Ice T, how much for Ice T? He's a big star.
I'm going to say $200.
$200. I'm there too.
He's also $100.
What?
Yeah. And then today's headliner has a local angle.
Rob Parker.
What's up, Cameo? This is Rob Parker from FS1 and Fox Sports Radio.
He needs
if
to talk
you need
to his
that
life coach.
Personal message from me, hit me up. You want me to say no way, no how, or that Tom Brady is the load? I'm your man. Check it out.
Ooh.
Do you think his life coach gave him the idea to do it?
I don't know. We're going to have to talk to his life coach about this one.
How much for Rob?
Rob, he's going to be $35.
He's $50.
Is he really?
Yeah. It seems to be the baseline, isn't it? 50?
Oh, there's some $20 people in there.
Has Brian Austin Green done any more that he was really bummed out about?
Yeah, Blitz, please check Brian Austin Green. But before you play him, I want to mention our friends at Hall Financial, the top mortgage company in Michigan for client service and big supporters of our show. And I hate to keep mentioning it because I get confused about how to say it exactly, but we had the great letter from the guy who had worked with Company A, and he had ended up unable to save himself any money, I guess, in the refi. They couldn't make it happen. Anyway, Hall Financial got it done, saved him some money. He was very pleased, and he kept referencing that Company A was unable to do this for him.
Right.
So they really do bust their ass to try and get you whatever it is you need, whether it's a refi, shortening your loan, getting money out of your house, or buying your dream home, first home, whatever it is. They've got 500 five-star reviews, and they're not afraid to have you look at their reviews. So many people do that now when they are using a service. Mm-hmm. They'll check the reviews.
Hell yeah.
Their parents will tell them, oh, they're the best. Well, actually, the reviews mean more to most younger people than their parents' advice.
Yeah.
So don't take it from us, though. Take it from all the people who have worked with Hall and who mention them by name, specifically the people that work on the loans, the people that close them. On top of the elite service, they close earlier than most. 44 days is the average. I think they're down to 19, and sellers are impressed. What a great job they do at Hall Financial. If you'd like to maybe have them take a look at your situation, fill out the online form, go to the Drew and Mike Show, our website, online, click the Hall Financial link, fill out the form, and they'll be crunching numbers for you in no time. Or you can go to drewandmike.hallfg.com or call 248-308-5000. You won't be disappointed with Hall Financial. NMLS number 1467435. And I'm so pumped. Is Brian Austin Green done some new ones?
Yeah, and he now does them from his car instead of his backyard.
He is the most ambivalent person on Cameo. He's very upset with himself for doing this.
Here's an idea that I just had. Because I've been getting like scripted requests for videos and things like that. So here's what I'm going to start doing.
How about y'all just fuck
and
off?
If people don't see this, then you don't see it.
Wait, he put out a Cameo to tell us this?
Yeah. I'm going
to
start cold reading the requests that I get.
Why?
So
he's an ass.
I'm going to record as I'm reading them and as I see them for the first time.
He doesn't
want to
do the work.
And that's what you'll get. I'm going to do it just as an exercise for me because it's fun.
No, it's not.
And I'm going to do it for you guys because it may be really stupid and it'll make you laugh. And if you laugh,
he hates doing Cameo.
Awesome.
Wait, this is an exercise for him that you're paying for?
Yeah.
Cameo.
$150. All right, so here's one.
Sarah, turning 40 in March. Happy birthday. Thank you for watching 90210.
He's so miserable.
Appreciate it.
No, he hates
Tim
doing
says
this.
You can quote every line for every episode. I don't know if there's no way I can do that. So that's impressive.
You'd be so bored.
He hates
right,
that
well,
he needs this money.
Tim
it just
wants
kills
me
him.
To tell you something in this video.
I'm bored, and I've been bored all morning.
But I don't want to take credit for it. It was Tim's idea.
I thought you were just
going to
read it cold.
I'm just breaking the news to you.
Yeah, what's going on? What's about your new policy?
Tim,
slow down.
Tim's coming out of the closet.
All your old friends fly in for a surprise girls' weekend for your birthday. So,
not a surprise anymore.
No way.
Dreamweaver's hit me hard with him.
Man. Oh, that's not cold.
My wife,
he's
Christina,
living.
Just opened a new Card My Yard franchise. I haven't heard of that, but congrats. That's awesome.
You're going off the script.
Congrats on
what are you doing, dude?
Opening
how
something
insincere
new.
Insincere was that. Congrats, that's
thank
awesome.
Thank you for being a huge fan.
I don't know what that is.
Show.
Congrats, that's awesome.
You've probably seen every episode 10 times. What? 10 times? That's insane.
Who are these people that are such 90210 fans?
Was,
that's bullshit.
And can we get Jimmy Walters on here instead?
Best. I'll just
so you can just tell people like off
not
like
best.
You told Donna.
Jimmy! If you can work in a little David Silver in your message, that would be awesome. I'm not sure what David Silver... How do you work in David Silver?
I don't know, you're the you actor,
fucking actor, you asshole. What a dick.
David Silver talked and danced, and I'm 45, so I'm way too old to dance now.
He's so miserable.
And I'm already talking, so... There you go. I worked in David Silver. There it is.
What?
Thanks for $150.
Christina, congratulations. This has been booked by Michael.
Oh my God, what a dope.
I'm assuming that's your husband. Oh yeah, my wife. There you go. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Michael's your husband.
Thanks for putting so much into this.
Good on you.
I'm tempted to call Cameo and complain.
I kind
of
want.
He's the worst Cameo member of all.
He seems so bitter.
He doesn't want to do it.
He doesn't want to do it. He's really embarrassed. I think he should put out a Cameo for everyone. I predict at some point he may do this, where he says, I just want people to know that I've done a lot since 90210, so I really don't want to mention 90210 in future Cameos. You could talk about my albums or some of the great made-for-TV movies I've been in.
Or my ex-wife, is he married to Megan Fox still?
He's still with her.
He still is. Okay.
That'll be the next thing anybody wants to hear. Can you put your wife on that
I
Cameo?
Really would like to leave my family out of Cameo. I try to keep my private life private. Oh, God, he's so intense. He's so intense. He's so deep.
Jesus.
Okay, so we should talk about the Grammys.
Mm-hmm. And that green thing today was enough.
You know, one of the things that was a big story today, and something happened last night that just blew my mind. It made me so annoyed. All the people that didn't show up became a big story because Childish Gambino, won Song of the Year, wasn't there.
Which led to one of the best transitions from an award acceptance to an intro.
It was grim.
Because nobody knew where to go on the stage.
Yeah, they didn't know what to do. Alicia Keys walked off the stage essentially saying, Childish.
It got to the point where... that some stage manager wearing a headset had to like grab her.
It was on camera.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I love when people who are not supposed to be on camera are on camera.
Whenever you see someone in a headset, they're not supposed to be on camera. There's another time when I think, it might have been Drake or somebody came out from behind and you see this little head peek out, the guy with a headset on. Dope! Not supposed to be on camera.
The big thing this morning, too, on Good Morning America was they cut Drake off.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Drake was kind of a surprise, although he didn't perform, and I don't even know what the whole problem was, except for Ariana Grande, who apparently they were mean to.
Yeah.
So then she tweets out a picture of her in the dress she would have worn if she had gone. Ugh. Which I was like, you fucking idiot. What is that all about? What, you're not getting enough attention because you're not there?
You're like a fucking bitch on heat.
You know how much is this dress worth?
What an absolute moron she is.
And then she also tweeted and then deleted a couple tweets after her dead ex-boyfriend Mac Miller lost to Cardi B. She tweeted, fuck!
Yeah, she so cares about Mac Miller that she was engaged like a month and a half after they broke up. And she's talking about her new boyfriend's big dick all over the place and making out and just making news everywhere with her new boyfriend. Because she loved Mac Miller so much, and I thought she showed a lot of class, her whole Pete Davidson thing, getting tattoos of each other. Here's this guy she's been with 2 years, and she loved him so much. And it's weird. It doesn't all quite fit together as nicely as maybe it should.
She also wrote, trash!
Oh, my God, what a dope.
Here's Drake. You just missed the headset guy, by the way, poking his head out when he came up.
It's like the first time in Grammy's history where I actually am who I thought I was for a second. So I like that. That's really nice.
This is going to get so deep.
I definitely did not think I was winning anything. My brother's here. I want to take this opportunity while I'm up here to just talk to all the kids that are watching this, that are aspiring to do music, all my peers
that
make music
the
from their heart, that do things pure and tell the truth. I want to let you know we play in an opinion-based sport. Not a factual-based sport,
you're
so it's not
kids.
The NBA where at the end of the year you're holding a trophy because you made the right decisions
analogy,
and won the games. This is a business where sometimes, you know, it's up to a bunch of people that might not understand, you know, what a mixed-race kid from Canada has to say or a fly Spanish girl from New York or anybody else. Or a brother
so
from Houston right
deep.
There, my brother Travis. But look, the point is, you've already won. If you have people who are singing your songs word for word, if you're a hero in your hometown.
How many people have singing their songs word for word?
If there's people who have regular jobs who are coming out in the rain, in the snow, spending
what
their hard-earned
the
money
hell
to buy
you
tickets
talking?
To come to your shows, you don't need this right here. I promise you. You already won.
You already won? What, so we're lesser people for waiting in line?
That's where
Nick. Oh, he's
surprised. Oh,
that's a great cutoff.
You don't need this.
Oh,
who are coming out in the rain,
this
in the
brutal.
Snow, spending their hard-earned money to buy tickets to come
to
your shows? You don't need this right here. I promise you. You already won.
But next.
But.
But. Oh, no.
He was looking around like he wanted someone else to speak.
People are livid about this. Yeah. They feel the Grammys cut him off. I don't know. Because they're mean, like they were to Ariana Grande. They hate the stars.
Because he was saying you don't need a Grammy for it to be great, for music to be good. Well,
thank you for translating for us.
I mean, I just feel like that's the wrong thing to say on the Grammy stage, you know?
Yeah, no. Well, then what's the point of you getting a Grammy if it doesn't matter?
Turn it in.
Yeah, give it to somebody else.
But that's why I think everybody jumped to the conclusion that they cut him off. And I think that he just paused and they're like, okay, he's done.
Give it to Ariana Grande.
There were some other, that Dua Lipa speech. What did she win for? Who is this chick?
Best new artist. She's a model turned singer, which is always a nice challenge.
She looks like the background dancer in the, what is that, Robert, what's his name? Robert Palmer.
Oh, Addicted to Love?
Oh, yeah.
Addicted to
Love. She's hot. I agree. She's hot.
She performed with St. Vincent.
Yeah, there was a lesbian-ish moment.
Well, she is a lesbian. Well, not
Dua Lipa. Are they both lesbos?
Not Dua Lipa, but St. Okay. Vincent is.
And I don't care. It's fine. But there was a little, I thought
it's
it was a homo, lesbierotic moment.
I thought it was.
Is homoerotic the same term for a lesbian as for a gay person? Gay, two gay dudes? It would be homoerotic for two lesbians? I thought it was a homoerotic moment.
All her songs suck, by the way. They're all terrible.
The music
awful.
Starts just wailing. It's wailing for a long time. And she has no idea she should stop.
Thank you so much. I guess, oh my God, I don't even know where to begin. I guess where I want to begin is by saying how honored I am to be nominated alongside so many incredible female artists this year because
and no one ever says
I guess
that.
This year we've really
great.
Stepped up.
slow down.
I
makes you look better for winning, too.
Oh my God.
With all those great nominees.
I want to say a really big thank you to my fans who have allowed me to be the best Woo! Version of myself.
That's huge. Nobody says that.
To allow me to be the best version of myself.
The fans did that?
What does that mean?
I want to say thank you to my team.
So your terrible version otherwise?
Who have been by my side. I want to say thank you to Ben, to
fans
Jules,
made her
to
better.
Oscar, to Wendy, to Hannah, to Kathy, blah, blah, to Curtis and Grace, who have just worked so tirelessly and just been
my
by my
God,
side.
My God, ever stop?
Here comes the music. Time to wrap up, honey.
With me tonight. And...
Uh-oh.
Oh my God, I'm so nervous and so excited and so grateful.
Yeah, well, the music's cranking.
One thing that I really want to say is for anyone that hasn't realized how
she has said this before the music was playing.
Story, a different background, a name that honors their roots because they just want to be normal, whatever the hell that means. Just know that no matter where you're from or your background or what you
get out of here,
never let that get
so
in the way of you and your dreams because you deserve it. And I'm proving
this thanks music's accentuating what she's saying.
However hard you work, I really believe in it. I believe in you, and thank you so much.
cut off.
She talked for like 40 seconds with the music on.
Let's listen to that cut off again.
It might be the longest anyone's ever talked with the music on.
And I'm proof that you can do whatever you put your mind to. And
except talk over this.
I really believe in it. I believe in you, and thank you so much. And I'm.
Oh, thank you so much.
They just turned her mic off. They didn't fade it down. They just went click.
You know, is that a new maneuver where they turn the mic off?
Kind of seems like
it's get out of here.
Brilliant move.
Well, they're also like playing it. The hard rock, too, you know, just to drown them out.
Swells. Yeah, and she would not give up. They needed Dreamweaver there. The Dreamweaver that would have been more effective.
Oh, my God. And when the music starts and people start talking about important things, like, why didn't you talk about this instead of, you know, being your best self? The fans made you your best self. The other comment I thought was...
So that was her best self there?
I guess that was. Ooh, yeah, good. The fans made her best self.
I don't know.
I thought Cardi B, maybe we can get to her later.
She's right here.
Okay. Her thanking her baby was the dumbest thank you ever. Because the way she explained it was that she had to cut all those videos before the baby was showing, I guess.
Yep.
So she thanked her baby, I assume, for
that baby is ugly.
For agreeing to let her do those videos while the baby was growing.
It's nice.
I don't think
baby.
The baby was able to agree to that. I think she should have apologized to the baby,
hostage.
Not thanked the baby. That's like people say thank you in advance.
Oh my goodness.
Babies can't agree to that.
Come on, baby.
Wife's offset up there.
Slow down.
I'm sorry. I just
Ooh, the nerves are so bad. Baby, I need to start smoking weed.
A tough room.
I just want to say thank you, everybody that was involved. I want to thank Julie, Kaiser.
Who?
Craig.
No one knows Craig.
Johnny.
Fuck Craig.
Who's that dude?
Marsha. Ashley.
Fuck Marsha. Nobody knows who that is.
QC.
Who's that broad?
I want to thank P. I want to thank Coach.
Never heard of him. Next.
Coach.
I want to thank my daughter.
Craig T. Nelson?
I'm not just saying thank you because she's my daughter. It's because, you know.
There's Joe from Teen Mom.
When I found out I was pregnant, my album was not complete. I had like three songs that I was for sure having. And then, you know how it was. Like.
No.
We was like, we have to get this album done so I could shoot these videos while I'm still not showing. And it was very long nights. I want to thank.
Well, she should apologize to the baby, shouldn't she?
For the long nights?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They don't know day and night when they're inside.
I don't got to.
But the baby didn't agree to it. The baby didn't say, hey, look, you make your videos.
I want to thank all the artists. Star of
a don't worry about me.
Babies, I don't
care about.
That
took their time and their verses. For my album, J Balvin, Bad Bunny, Chance the Rapper, SZA, Kehlani, the Migos.
If it took this many people, I think she shouldn't get an award.
Nah, seriously, because he was like, oh, you going to do this album, girl. We going to have this baby and we going to make this album. And thank you so much, everybody.
Hey, get out of here.
Long shot.
Up next, who will take home the Grammy for
and notice how fast they go to the long shot.
Oh, jeez.
See a surprised look on their face or anything.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Did you guys watch the Backstreet Boys?
What? They were on there?
Weren't the Backstreet Boys
on there? I saw them in the crowd. I didn't see them on
the
stage.
Are you talking about the Korean Backstreet Boys?
Oh, no.
The K-pop?
The regular Backstreet Boys. What's the one who looked so evil? Like the
Kevin. Like,
crazy
was it
hair.
Kevin?
I saw him in the crowd.
Yeah.
Kevin. Yeah.
Is that his name?
Yeah. He kind of looks something? Like D'Artagnan or something. He's got the stark beard.
They kept cutting to him. Yeah.
He was a big reaction shot for some reason.
He was. And there was a chick next to him and she's trying to like get his attention and he was just totally ignoring her and singing along and being a dick. And his hair made him look more like a dick, or maybe he just is one, but.
I got to show you the best reaction shot if I can find it. I think I texted you about it, Drew. Somebody was singing.
Here it is, Trudy. That's exactly what you're saying.
He just.
Wait, let me see.
He's just ignoring her as she's dancing along.
She's trying to like. She smiles at him. And then
rejected.
She tries to say, or you know, is she trying to kind of say to him something to him?
Get out of here!
I don't know. She's playing along, and he's not having.
It's funny.
It.
I did not notice that, and I saw that too. For some reason, maybe I would have been doing the same thing.
Yeah, but I couldn't
didn't see a problem with his behavior.
Why he was shutting this woman down so hard?
Yeah, he threw a no hitter at her,
especially. With that severe facial hair.
Why are they there? Because they had a Super Bowl ad?
I really want this stupid band to go away. Aren't they? Don't they get too much attention?
Yeah, I don't know. They came back, I guess.
Oh, I see. So, they're important again, even though they weren't important? I guess they were important.
I didn't
miss
them.
They sold a lot of records.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's my favorite reaction shot when Alicia Keys is having another look at me moment where she's singing with Smokey on stage. I don't know why, because he does a performance later.
Why did they do this?
I don't know. Watch this reaction shot of this one lady.
If you look closer, it's easy to trace the tracks of my.
Great, Alicia Keys, you can sing. We know. We've only sang every break. That lady yapping away on her fucking cell phone. Isn't that great?
Ooh, she's in a heavy conversation, too.
I think they knew that, we don't want to put this on there because they cut away so fast.
Everybody loves it.
Where's that?
And that bitch is on the phone.
She's sitting next to...
She is so on the phone.
She's sitting Barry next Gordy. To Barry Gordy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Boy, the guy...
Wait. Is that grandma?
That's not...
Is that Diana Ross's daughter?
Diana Ross?
Could be. She's sitting next to Barry Gordy. Wait. Maybe that's the child she had, the love child that he denied was his. They pretended wasn't his. That's what I understand why he's always so below. Oh, that's the grandson on the right, the 9-year-old brat that introduced her. Yeah. By the way, why is he introducing her?
Isn't it past his bedtime?
Because the Grammy said it was cute.
So why don't we just have kids host?
Yeah, have kids
You're
all
the
night.
Best grandma ever.
Have 9-year-olds do the whole show.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Loves it.
I did notice with a lot of the crowd shots that people were trying to sing along to songs that they did not know the words to.
That's always a good look.
They needed Taylor Swift.
They're wrong.
Where was the words to everything?
Where was Taylor? Why wasn't
awkward.
By the way, this whole idea that these people didn't show up because they're angry because Oscar's so mean to women or Oscar's so white or whatever, or not Oscar's, Grammy's so white, Grammy's so mean to women, mm-hmm. Grammys won't let women perform. Who is it, Lord, that complained last year?
Yeah.
Right.
And so on. If you look at the winningest artists, Stevie Wonder, Kanye West, Aretha Franklin, the Grammys don't really seem to be that cruel to anybody in particular.
No.
In fact, when Bradley Cooper won his Grammy last night, he tied Led Zeppelin.
He did?
Yeah, Led Zeppelin has one Grammy.
I think
the Stones have two, and I think they're lifetime-oriented awards. I don't think the Stones ever won a Grammy. The Who, I believe, have won one Lifetime Achievement Award.
Shows the difference of competition that Bradley Cooper had versus them.
Bradley Cooper apparently cannot be replaced because Gaga sang his part last night, but they could have gotten another dude to sing, but I guess no one can replace Bradley Cooper. No. So
she's pretty in love with him.
Decided to
meanwhile, was at the BAFTAs losing.
Ah!
He didn't win. She didn't win. That showed. I think the song won over there, which he has nothing to do with.
Is he apologetic again? Is
for not doing a good job?
He should be. He probably will apologize.
I thought J-Lo and the Chili Peppers were.
Chili Peppers are great.
Good. Yeah, the
Chili Peppers were fine. J-Lo, you know, there's all this outrage over her because she's not black.
What?
Doing the Motown tribute.
Right.
Oh.
First of all, I don't know why you'd pick J-Lo, and then why do they have all the dancing people again? Does Motown really music that has lots of dancing people prancing around on stage?
Yeah, they always stand in the line.
I think
line.
Of Smokey Robinson, Marvin Gaye. Okay, the Supremes, that's three
Four
people
Tops,
dancing.
The Temptations, they all would get in a line and do a little, you know, dancing.
Dance. I just don't think the J-Lo is, I don't think of her as, Motown, those are great artists.
Yeah.
I mean, great artists. And the all the studio musicians they had who became, you know, shadows, standing in the shadows of Motown.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. J-Lo seems like somebody Motown would have rejected.
Oh, really? The girl?
She's not black?
Well, not because she's not black, but just she's not really a great artist. Name one of her songs.
Jenny for the Block.
Huh?
Jennifer Block.
No, that's a good one. That's the only one I couldn't have thought of that just now, but I mean, are there people listening to us right now going, oh my God, there's like 10 J-Lo songs I love.
That one song with Ja Rule.
What would I be without you?
You know, this has to be lip sync too, because I don't think she is that strong a singer. Is she?
No. I would never think of her singing Money. By the way, did they bring her up there just so we can see A-Rod in the crowd proudly looking at the woman he bangs?
Yeah.
A-Rod, stay in your lane. Stay out of these shows. I don't want to see him in the crowd anymore with his heart on.
Here's where they cut to him, too.
Yeah, is she over-rocking like Gaga? There's A-Rod.
A-Rod standing there hard. You know, this looks like the Rockettes, not Motown.
Well, that's a natural environment for her, though, because she started out
her,
like that.
Yeah. For her. Is there no better singers that can do the Motown tribute?
She's really making it her own.
But there's still Motown people alive.
Well, Smokey comes
Smokey,
out,
is Stevie Wonder.
Not with that booty.
She made the song all about her ass.
And I like her humping around. That's great. I don't know, I'm not complaining about that, but I just... She's not... She's like the 500th person I would have thought of to do this.
Did she hit Alicia Keys in the mouth with the microphone? I think she does.
Hopefully.
She?
That guy doesn't know the words.
J-Lo looks great. I cannot criticize. She looks fantastic. I would never. Well, why does she have to have a new outfit now? This looks like Motown on Broadway to me. She's going to hammer Alicia Keys?
Well, she can't see anything with that sombrero on.
Oh, that was close. This does not look like the Edwin Starr Band would approve of this. Was this the Waiters all on stage?
Oh, they have to, like, be cover while she changes her clothes, so.
Oh.
That's just a whole new thing, see?
New outfit. Look, the crowd's going crazy. What's up with that crowd? Look how stupid they're acting.
Oh, the fans in the middle?
Are they the fake crowd?
Yeah.
Okay. Doesn't everyone know they're acting stupid?
They're probably paid to act stupid or recruited.
Is anyone fooled by that?
What song is this? It's that 9-year-old.
He's bored shitless. Wait, she said the Jacksons? Oh.
Yeah.
Did she mention Michael?
Yeah. I think so. She said the Jacksons.
Was there? Do you think they intentionally left Michael out since he seems to have molested children?
Well, they already dug his body up. Just throw that on the stage.
Do you think there was a debate about, should we mention Michael Jackson's, the Jackson 5, the Jacksons? This documentary just come out, these two men who were molested for years by Michael Jackson. Would that be bad timing to mention Michael Jackson? Some people find that inappropriate.
Isn't it Jackson's are on Motown and then, you know, Michael was on another label, right?
Well, at the Motown 25, remember he moonwalked by himself and sang Billie Jean? It seems like they weren't afraid of Michael Jackson then.
No. Well, maybe so.
I think that didn't time out too well for his name.
I'm not gay.
Just taking a stab at it.
Joe got a shout out for dying, though.
Joe Jackson, yeah.
Vinnie Paul didn't.
Oh, that he boned Pete Shelley?
Everybody's, I didn't.
Buzzcocks, Homo sapien too, Homo sapien like you. It's a good tune.
Yeah.
Remember Homo sapien? And Major Tom?
Major Tom.
That was a huge hit.
Yeah, she should have been mentioned.
They had like studio musicians up there. Yeah,
for sure. He got robbed.
Got
for
boned.
Sure.
It was bad.
Well, wasn't Bowie
he just died
this year,
too.
Or was it? The beginning of the last year. No, it was 2 years ago.
Did they space out Bowie?
Did you like Fantasia singing Aretha?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
She was pretty good.
She can
wail,
man.
She can sing. She absolutely can.
Trudy, Bowie died 3 years ago.
Oh, God. I'm a
2016.
Time trip.
January 8th, was it? Or 10th? Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Could have been 15.
Boy.
Years ago.
Yeah, Fantasia was, that was kind of crazy. I never.
Fantasia. Yeah.
By the way, they sang a nice. Yeah. They sang Natural Woman.
Yeah.
It's Carole King, Jerry Coffin's song. I mean, I really think of Carole King.
Yeah, I kind of do too.
But.
Well, you left.
I know where you're going, Mark.
Do you see this guy's outfit? I love this dude.
Which dude?
The producer of the album of the year. His outfit.
Did she get cut off, by the way? Oh, that was cool. Wow, look at that dude. Look at that dude.
He's got cool outfit.
Ball pads on.
Is he wearing shoulder pads?
His name's Sean Everett. Brandon, see if you can find a photo of his full outfit because he also has
outer space.
It's got like a half kilt on.
It's pretty tumultuous right now for all of us.
Maybe
I feel like
he needs to drop a shoulder into somebody.
And I feel like
he wanted to wear the pads.
Art is really thriving, and it's been really beautiful to see that. Thank you for championing mine.
I thought
mine.
She was boring.
She was boring. She's very pretty. She's a good singer.
Songs to me, it's just all about the songs. I'm very lucky to have a team that is.
Hey, there he is. Oh, shit.
Let me see him.
Don't wear that outfit again.
It's all about the song.
Look at that outfit.
Oh, my God.
What the hell?
I don't know.
What?
Where did he get that? I want to wear that.
That's like a biker guy from
That's
space.
Intense.
With shoulder pads and a half kilt and a, I don't know. It's definitely unique.
It's a good look.
He stole that that speech, though.
Did she get cut off?
Well, let's see. I don't know what she's talking about.
They just turned it down.
They cranked music or something.
Very trustworthy, very incredible, and they're honest with me. I love my husband so much, and this album wouldn't have been created without you.
It's the album of the year winner.
Thank you.
I mean, they were wailing over the biggest
Jason
victors
Nolan,
of the night.
Benny Tarantini, my little sister, she shot and designed all my
Slow
album
down.
Covers. Ian Fitchuk, Daniel Tashian. I really don't know what
Slow
to say.
Down.
Thank you to my fans. Thanks for spreading this music.
She's coming to Royal Oak Music Theater, by the way. I think. If that hasn't already happened.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's keep listening.
That ended pretty
fast. And that green thing today was
enough. That ended pretty fast. The music was getting a little tough to talk over.
Awful.
And she was. Is she getting rave reviews? I predict she's getting rave reviews.
I don't know. I didn't see any reviews for her.
On all the ass-kissing morning shows, she got rave reviews.
Of course. They would like anything.
Grand Nash. We'll see.
They're going to love the host of the Oscars.
Yeah, Graham Nash liked her. He liked her. I don't know. When they brought out Michelle Obama, is she 9 feet tall, by the way?
Yes.
She's got to be able to dunk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Why was Jada Pinkett Smith one of the people that...
They needed a point guard.
Oh, okay.
Out of those five.
It did look like it could have made a good chick basketball team.
Yeah, Michelle at center, J-Lo at power forward. Guard. Yeah.
And then Gaga.
Wait, they bring out Gaga, Michelle Obama, Jada Pinkett Smith, and J-Lo.
In a different sombrero.
How important music is and why it means so much to us. We're watching the Grammys. We like music. We know what it means to us. They don't have to define
it. What if you hate watching it because you just despise music in all its forms? like Footloose.
Well, Michelle Obama would turn
John
you
John Lithgow in Footloose.
Hey, a point in her favor.
TV for one.
The first thing she did, her first sentence was a shout out to Detroit. So thank you.
Whose was?
Michelle Obama. The first thing
my
she
God.
Said was
I spaced out before she even opened her mouth.
Was about Motown and you know how great it is, and I was like, yeah.
Oh, Lord,
I kind of felt special.
Trudy, you're better than that.
I must have been weak last night.
That was really funny.
It was a dumb show.
It was pretty bad.
Well,
is there anything left from it that we need to
all the cover? Bezos business?
Oh, yeah. Bezos.
I think he just wants us to see his dick pic.
Mm-hmm.
He wants the entire country to see it.
Yeah, he clearly, you know, by mentioning that I think I'm being extorted, he's really saying, I don't care if this comes out. I'm telling you what
want
they have
it.
Already. Yeah, so he probably wants it. And she obviously wants the nudes of her out. We know she would love that.
This guy's wiener is, you know, huge,
well,
right?
Because then she can say, I didn't want everybody to see how hot I am.
Her manager definitely wanted pictures out.
It appears that her brother is the one who
got that
stuff to the Inquirer. Her brother, who is her manager and her publicist.
Doing his job.
Managing.
I'm your sister. Oh, you're my sister.
Well, you are one heck of a manager and a publicist. You got her name in a lot of places.
Yep, exactly. That's probably his argument today. It's more publicity than she's ever had.
You're right. I didn't even know who she was.
Here's another conspiracy
theory. So maybe he's done a really good job. Maybe he was a good job.
Since you've labeled her a climber, you don't suppose she was in on leaking them, too?
Whoa. Well,
she already got paid $20 million for that ad.
Well, I knew that someone... It had to be someone close to her. You know, Bezos is not sending his dick pic to people that would compromise, or he would think would compromise.
I wouldn't put it by him.
Maybe.
It's going to end up on Amazon.
I saw a national security person say you just have to leave your phone down for a second for somebody to like reach over, copy it, and then.
So. Really?
Right.
Where'd you see this person? Where was this? Is this in a movie?
Some talk show.
It was on an episode of Friends.
Oh, no, this is real.
I was hoping you'd give me a movie title.
First came out.
No, it was Malcolm.
Friends was a reach,
Malcolm
Trudy.
Nance. Fun Bobby, man.
Oh, look at her brother. Brother looks like a douche.
Should we see the Inside Edition version?
No,
this
one's
is the latest
it.
On
no
the
No one will cover it better than them.
No, probably not.
Whatever. No one cares about your baby, Mark.
Lauren Sanchez might not be real happy with her brother right now amid allegations that it was he who revealed those steamy texts and photos between Amazon founder Jeff Bezos and his sister, a former TV anchor.
After he masturbated to them.
The furor over who leaked raunchy texts and photos of the world's richest man to the National Enquirer is focused on this man, Michael Sanchez, the brother of Jeff Bezos' girlfriend, Lauren Sanchez.
The Enquirer printed some texts and things from someone else's phone, like maybe 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Someone who also knows Michael Sanchez. So it sounds like he's making some money with the Enquirer.
I gotta say, I'm a little focused on the Sanchez thing now because this reporter's pronouncing Sanchez.
I've never heard that before.
Okay. Multiple sources tell the Daily Beast that Michael Sanchez gave the couple's text to the National Enquirer. Michael Sanchez, who lives above the famed Sunset Strip in West Hollywood, reveals he's known about his sister's affair with Bezos since last April, but reportedly denied that he was the source of the racy texts and photos given to the National Enquirer. Sanchez spoke to Howie Kurtz, host of Fox News Channel's Media Buzz.
Michael Sanchez is saying, just because I have friendships with people in Trump world and at the Enquirer, there's no way I'd be involved in a leak that would be damaging to my sisters.
The National Enquirer published the lurid text between Bezos, the founder of Amazon, and Lauren Sanchez, a TV personality and original host of So You Think You Can Dance. George Stephanopoulos asked the attorney for National Enquirer boss David Pecker about the identity of the source.
It was a source that was well known to both Mr. Bezos and Ms. Sanchez.
Yeah, was it Michael Sanchez?
I can't discuss who the source was. It was somebody close to both Bezos and Ms. Sanchez.
I'm so
representative for the National Enquirer's parent company say Bezos' charges are untrue.
I'm going to go out on a limb and just say she's in on it.
Yeah.
That's an interesting theory. I could see her doing that.
I could too. Maybe she doesn't want to be with him anymore.
Does it put... Yeah, she doesn't. Does she don't want to be Bezos? Does she?
But he is. Loaded,
she want to be underneath Bezos, huffing and puffing for another 20 years.
Gross.
And only Bezos.
Gross.
He's gonna have a PI on her all the time.
What a lot depends on is what that dick pic looks like. Whether she wants to be.
She's not your friend.
He has a gigantic wallet and.
But so. If the guy has a dick bigger than John Holmes, I still think she's with Bezos. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at him. He's like 5'1". He's got a really weird head.
He does.
He's got a really weird mouth, too, doesn't he? I mean, he's weird
eyes.
Looking.
I mean, one of those eyes is a little skewed.
They released the audio of them having sex, which I thought was a little weird.
If Bezos was hanging out the garbage truck coming down my street, or if he was running the snow plow, would Lauren Sanchez... spit on him?
No.
Would she even fuck around with him if she was drunk? No.
There's actual audio of him nailing her.
Trudy seemed to be thinking about it. Is that Bezos?
Bezos nailing her. It's on her phone.
Oh, God.
Gross. That little alien sounds weird having an orgasm. Jeez. You look like a little alien.
He does. Yeah, I think he might be. What if he is?
Was Kazoo based on him in the Flintstones? Is Bezos the inspiration for Kazoo?
I think side by side. Yes. Is he small like Kazoo?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
He's smaller than Kazoo. Kazoo would be an upsized version of him.
Fill you up.
Just let me do the talking.
Just let me do the talking. Yeah. That is something Bezos would say.
Is this him? Wow.
let me do the talking.
Why is Mr. interrupting Bezos?
I'm gonna freaking explode inside you. I'm gonna spill it. I'm gonna fill you up.
Fill you up.
What?
I'm gonna fill you up.
Just let me do this, honey.
Gross. Did you finish, Bezos? Jesus. I'm calling 911 if you don't finish soon. Oh.
Wow.
Now, I think it was her brother who's suggesting that all these other organizations aren't involved, like maybe Saudi Arabia.
It was pointing fingers in every other direction.
Why would Saudi Arabia, how would they be involved? I mean, aren't there enough resources in the United States of America?
Yeah.
If you're going to get to Jeff Bezos's phone, why would you need Saudi Arabia?
You wouldn't. No, that's just, that's subterfuge. He's just.
I've read that like three or four places, and now I'm like, wow, I'm really dying to know what happened here. And it seems like it's her brother.
Yeah.
Well, is it Saudi Arabia because of the Jamal Khashoggi thing?
The connection.
The Washington Post, and so.
Okay, explain to me why
the chain.
He has business with the Saudi family.
Why does he need Saudi Arabia to get things off Bezos' phone?
Well, I mean, governments tend to have a little more espionage type things when it comes to.
Bezos has more money than Saudi Arabia.
I know.
No, no, no. I doubt that.
But
he has enough money. Bezos certainly has enough money to get whatever he wants done.
Yeah.
No, I know, but if he's storing things on a cloud with Amazon Web Services,
Saudi Arabia do that Bezos couldn't get done?
And they could hack. They could get access to the
cloud.
But
aren't there people
like the Fappening?
Aren't there people the Inquirer could pay
you would
to
think
do that
so.
That would be
so.
Outside of Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. I just didn't follow that conspiracy theory. But I'm fascinated by it. If it's true, I'm going to be blown away. But that wasn't the only one. It was not just Saudi Arabia. Wasn't there another foreign government being identified?
Yeah, well, the United States would have been the other government in the conspiracy theory.
But the Inquirer's under... pretty, I mean,
yeah, there's some
they're in some pretty deep shit already.
Yeah, they really are.
Not to mention the fact that, I don't know about that. I mean, they turned over. They went belly up for the feds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to be fucking around, if they're dicking around with something like that at this point on behalf of Trump, I mean, as if they're not in enough shit already.
Right, yeah.
That would be, I mean... I'm dying to find out what the truth is.
Somebody was comparing it to Gawker going down, that this could be the National Enquirer's Gawker moment.
Well, I have to tell you.
He's got enough money to do it.
Once I find out someone is coming from that kind of place, the Enquirer always thought, hey, they're the people that just they'll untether any goofy gossip about anyone.
Yeah.
So therefore, you know, it's this fun little magazine. Sure. But all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, they're coming from a political place? Fuck you. They're crushing stories. Karen McDougal, I should have had nudes of Karen McDougal years ago and should have known about Trump banging her and Stormy Daniels, and they're killing stories. They're actually driving gossip the other way.
Well, is
what
that
the
their
fuck?
Only saving
Stay
grace?
Stay in your lane, Inquirer.
Their saving grace compared to the whole Gawker thing is that they never did print the photos. Gawker put the video of Hulk Hogan out there.
Mm, well, yeah. I have to tell you,
they never really extorted anything. I don't know if that matters.
You know, for having come up in journalism and broadcasting in the late 70s, early 80s, when you see all this stuff going on, you know, as it goes further and further, it's like, I mean, eventually you go, I guess this is our new world. But it's really strange sometimes.
It is. You know? But I love how you're outraged that the National Enquirer is not doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is
crushing
making
gossip.
Shit up.
They're buying gossip and killing it. Fuck you. Are you kidding?
Stop calling yourself AMI. You're the Inquirer.
I know they tried it.
Yeah, and you're supposed to excite inquiring minds, and you're more worried about
know.
Who the president is? Are you kidding me? Wow. I mean, that's kind of shocking to me.
Yeah.
And disappointing. I mean, I feel the same way about the real media when they're coming from a place, or Fox News or whoever. I hate that all these things are coming from a place. It's like, what happened to just good old-fashioned gossip about people?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Suck fake news.
And when they first were telling the story about Bezos, the Inquirer, when the story was first kind of coming out, they were claiming that we followed him 40,000 miles over 5 states over, you know, 5 months or something. I mean, they made it sound like they've been trailing him forever. And I thought, there's the good old Inquirer. And then, you know, it blows up into they're working on behalf of Trump. They're using Saudi Arabia. It's like, What has happened to the National Enquirer? I used to count on them to dig up shit on people themselves.
They don't
not
pride.
Come from a political place. Jesus.
Wow. Well, they're being undercut by
disappointing. The one thing you think you can count on in this world, and it goes poof.
Yeah, thanks, Bezos.
They're kind of coming.
Bezos
school.
Is going to start his own Enquirer. Where he just digs up dirt.
They're sort of undercut by the Daily Mail and some of the other, you know, tabloid-type newspapers.
I have to admit, I'm kind of surprised. I don't even buy the Enquirer anymore. And now I'm even less inclined to buy. I know, I'm really
it's
angry.
It's a tradition.
Radar Online is their online thing, which is dumb. Why don't you just make it National Enquirer?
Yeah, Radar Online is, I mean, that's a site. It is them, too. Yeah. They have stuff.
It's the worst website, though. The structure of it. Yeah.
So what's the chance of a government shutdown?
50-50, they were saying.
50-50, really?
Yeah. Cool.
Again, this is really something that needs to be done. This is good.
Well, but I don't think when push comes to shove, it's going to...
I swear...
I can see it shutting down again.
Really?
Yeah.
What I can't stand is this whole business that, you know, 35 days, government shutdown, 3 weeks, government shutdown, 10 days, and then at the last minute, it's like, okay, we got to really try, and then it's like, nope, I don't like it, and then it's like, I guess government has to shut down. Oh, okay. Yeah, no problem. It was such a great... It worked out so well the last time. What the fuck? I don't think this is a good idea.
I don't think it looks good for
anyone
involved, right?
Not really.
They all look like they're self-involved a-holes who can't get anything done.
It's so bad. I just can never remember. I mean, things have been... Sometimes I try to go back and go, okay, where did this divide start? Because Trump is not where the divide started. It started well before Trump.
Yeah.
Trump is just put it on steroids. Yeah. But you know, I guess usually I tend to think it's the Gore Bush election.
No, it's before that.
Well, yeah. I think it is. Yeah, I think you can go back
Newt.
To the Clinton days and
Newt.
Well, yeah, you could if you want to pinpoint
there.
If you want to pinpoint I mean a specific
contract
star,
with America.
It's hard to, but you could point to that. You could point to a lot of things since that too, and when Trump started Trump presidency started,
never been worse.
I was so miserable just turning on TV and watching. It was like, ugh, you know, the inauguration, alternative facts, all these like, ugh, all the outrage about this, outrage about this, outrage, and then I was reminded. Not by anyone, but by myself. When Obama was president, it was like, oh my God, did you hear about, you know, and the
death panels,
the Tea Party death panels.
I agree.
The war on Christmas.
Oh, right.
Oh, there's a million things.
That is silly. Those are a little more fun.
Not really. I mean,
silly,
the media
really
didn't blow
anything?
Them up. Yeah. The media didn't blow things up. The media loved Obama. And, But people that I knew,
the affair with
including
Oprah.
Including Mike Clark,
oh yeah,
who really just thought socialism. We're all wearing gray uniforms, and I noticed the word socialism is being used a lot now too.
Yeah.
And
it's boogeyman,
yeah.
And honestly, you know, the amazing thing is if you see polls on socialism, how many young people will say, "Hey, I don't think it's a bad idea." It's kind of
serious crap.
I mean, to see a number like 30% is like, what? 30%?
I mean, give me a break.
I don't care how old you are. That word in this country please, get away from me. Stop talking about that. Don't even do the poll.
Yeah.
Hey, there was a poll for a question you were at. You were wondering when this poll was coming out about blackface.
Yeah.
And when it's acceptable and when it's not acceptable.
I thought it was never acceptable. Well, didn't we decide blackface, we need blackface amnesty day, and then anyone who does it after that is done. You can never work again.
Yeah.
Ever.
This is from the Pew Research Center. White adults are twice as likely as blacks to say using blackface for Halloween costume is acceptable. So it's just...
Is acceptable?
Yeah. Particularly for Halloween. What percentage of all adults say, hey, it's always acceptable?
Oh, boy.
So it's got to be low. It's
so
be
many dumb people.
8%.
But I'm going to say like 17%.
15.
Okay.
19 say sometimes acceptable.
what are those occasions?
Only 37 says never acceptable, which is kind of surprising. Now, if you're white,
37%. The left is bigger than 37%. There's people on the left that think it's okay sometimes.
Yeah. Well, Virginia's governor.
It's Trudy. It's cool.
Not on the left, but
no,
he's a
he apologized. He's going to read Roots, isn't he?
He is reading.
Governor Northam is reportedly reading Roots.
No.
What the fuck? Is that going to clear everything? And by the way, can't he just watch it? Why does he have to read it, snob?
Didn't he say something dumb this morning, too, in his CBS? What did he say?
He said when indentured servants landed here from Africa.
And, yeah, and...
Now, technically, there were some indentured servants from West Africa, but
the vast majority
were slaves. Indentured servants were poor people from
Europe. Gail pointed out quickly.
And what did Ralph have to say? Did he try to moonwalk his way out of it?
He said, hey, I'm only through the first chapter of Roots. So let's slow down.
To try to moonwalk out.
Governor Northam is reportedly reading Roots.
We were dying
last feeling night. I'm going to read tonight. I'm just guessing. Mm. Some people claiming that what Ralph Northam said was actually true.
Oh, it already has happened.
People are defending him?
Yeah, it's already happened.
Mm-hmm. On what basis?
I think
you can say anything now if you're the governor or you're the president or whoever you are, you can say virtually anything, and there are a number of people who will defend you and say you're right.
Brandon, maybe you can find it, but I believe that Governor Ralph said that he talked to a historian who said that it was accurate.
What was he trying to say?
He was trying to talk about the history.
Can we play the interview?
It's been 400 years. We've solved, it's been fine.
Why does he have to spin history with that?
Because he's reading
Roots.
He's
such a folksy guy, though. He reminds me of George Bush.
Yeah.
A dumber George Bush.
Yeah.
Isn't he folksy? I mean, isn't he kind of likable, even though he's saying dumb things?
But he's a doctor.
Learned that you didn't know before. Well, several things, starting with I was born in white privilege.
Check out this information.
That has implications.
Several
things, starting with
using
I was
all the
born
buzzwords.
In white privilege.
Total information,
and
dumb.
That has implications to it. And it is much different the way a white person, such as myself, is treated in this country.
Did you not know that you were born into white privilege?
I knew I was, Ms. King, but I didn't realize the powerful implications of that. And again, talking to a lot of friends, that has come crystally clear to me.
All his black friends?
Was this guy born on third base?
Why I don't know much about him. Is so offensive. And yes, I knew it in the past, but reality has really set in.
But Governor, it's hard for people listening to you, an educated man at the age of 59, to say that you're just learning about the history of it. You didn't know the history, know that it was offensive before?
Well, I think we're all on a learning curve, and certainly, Ms. King, I am not the same person now.
I don't think he would have known when he wore blackface.
Oh, please, come on.
Really?
Yeah.
In 1984?
A lot of dumb people then.
There were a lot of people who wore blackface. I don't know. I honestly don't remember when that thing on Megyn Kelly came out, honestly, and her class signed that thing and said, we all knew about blackface. I was going, I don't remember anyone talking about blackface. Well, we talked about this until Ted Danson. That was when I guess that's a big deal. Although he'd said the N-word 12 times and it was,
But that image was pretty.
Yeah, it was. Bad. I connected that more to Amos and Andy than somebody going as Curtis Blow in 1980 in a lip sync contest. And I remember people dressing up as Supremes and stuff like that and not thinking anything of it. I don't remember anyone giving anyone shit.
Yeah. Well,
I love
the movie.
Oh, my God, you're terrible.
I guess
Megyn Kelly's
Man.
Class, if they had been there, they would have come down on these people.
Play the rest of them.
No, not likely.
At age 59 that I was back in my early 20s.
But your early 20s was 1984, not 1964.
That's right. Yes.
So you would think in 1984 that this was certainly a problem back then.
What about Soul Man in 86?
I don't think there's any question that there are today and there were then when I was in my early 20s racial insensitivities. I think there's still unconscious attitudes that, yes, we are aware of these things, but we don't realize sometimes, especially as a white person,
sounds like you're
how
straining
impactful,
to
how
do
offensive
some explaining.
They are. And again, I've still got a lot to learn, but this has been a week that has been very eye-opening
Where
for me.
The information
did you have black friends growing up?
I thought it was here.
I did. I grew up on the Eastern Shore
Prove
in a very
it.
Rural area. When
Nobody
I was in the fifth grade, schools were desegregated.
Let's get some references.
From the sixth grade through the 12th grade, I was in integrated schools. And yes, so I grew up in that environment.
See, that's which makes it even harder for us to understand.
No,
you
right.
had black friends or grew up with black people. So it would seem that you would be more sensitive and more aware.
Drew, would you be nervous if Gail King was asking you about your Tina Turner
I
have costume?
Excuses for what I did in my early life, but I can just tell you that I have learned. I have a lot more to learn. I'm a better person.
Are you okay?
And
you're
here,
in trouble.
As a
59-year-old
man governing the Commonwealth of Virginia, this is really an opportunity, I believe, to make awareness of this issue, to really have a frank dialogue and discussion about race and equity in this country.
Let's go back to the picture, and I know you've addressed it, but it still raises
so many questions.
Why do you think it came out now?
By the way, what a nice picture that is. Look at this.
This is really the first time I have ever seen that picture.
How could that be? It's on your yearbook page, Governor.
Well, I was
shocked. Pause for a second. I'm really tired of people acting like, it's in your yearbook. I swear to God, I've never looked at a Virginia Tech yearbook.
No.
This is a medical school yearbook, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have your Bowling Green yearbooks?
No.
Did you ever look at them?
No.
Because people just... I saw a panel on CNN, and I've seen another one since, where they go, oh, how could he have not seen his yearbook? And I was like, I don't ever remember seeing it. I didn't even know there was a high school
yearbook.
A high school yearbook.
Are you saying that there's blackface photos of you in your Virginia?
Oh, it's very possible. No, I've never been in blackface. Only mostly probably because...
Virginia Tech, tremendous school.
I'm not a costume person. I'm not a dress-up person.
Oh, but if you were, you would have worn it? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. Somebody could have talked me into it, I suppose.
Oh, you're that gullible. Huh?
I didn't know it was Ernie Banks or something.
I loved eye black when I played baseball. It could be Ernie Banks, Billy
Walter
Williams.
Walter Payton,
but I would have been honoring him.
So that's...
See, there's the thing.
I wore eye black when I played baseball under my eyes. I thought it looked really cool.
Tina Turner?
I would never have been Tina Turner.
Oh, man.
That's Trudy's domain.
Gail was... you said, would I be nervous if she were coming after me? But she loves Tina Turner, so we might have, like, a bonding.
Oh, you think you can turn her?
Yeah.
I don't know. This is so judgy and righteous, and I guess he's 25 years.
He's kind of asking for it, though, by claiming he's reading Roots and...
Well, no, he's overdoing it. He's trying to say all the right things, and he's saying,
he's so...
I was looking for the information dump because it was ridiculous.
Instead of just saying, look, the movie Soul Man came out in 86. I was in 84. I was before Soul Man. Did you complain about Soul Man, Gail?
What if there's a picture of him?
I would have attacked her like Kavanaugh.
There should be a picture of him at the movie theater watching Soul Man.
And he's laughing. Yeah. The whole audience is just uproariously laughing.
There's a picture with him and C. Thomas Howell. Because he's a huge fan.
Apparently ruined C. Thomas Howell.
To see it. And I really believe that the fact that if you look at the unpreparedness of me to react to this, both on Friday night and Saturday.
Who's using his unpreparedness
really,
to his advantage.
This is the first time.
What kind of a doctor is this dude?
Pediatrician, I thought.
Wow.
And he can't write scripts then. Oh, yeah, he can. But not to babies. You don't write scripts to babies.
Yeah, you can.
Sure.
Amoxicillin.
Low energy person.
But not any good prescriptions.
I mean, as
an adult, you're not going to get any good shit from him.
When Charlotte hurt herself, they gave her fentanyl and they put a cast on her. I was like, what, you give babies fentanyl? Like,
yeah, but Charlotte.
It's like 0.00001. Well, but he could. He could.
I guess so. Okay. He's got a script pad. I'll call him
this
Dr.
This baby needs 120 Vicodin pills.
His use of language is very, parochial. It's not very...
Low energy person.
Intellectual at all.
He's being folksy. I think he's got the folksy thing going.
I don't know if he can...
I'm not really impressed
cover that under
him.
The folksy umbrella, but...
You
didn't know
before. Here it is.
It's a haircut!
Gail King, you can have Jimmy Kimmel on tomorrow. Talk about his blackface.
It's a tribute.
Followed by Jimmy Fallon and Trudy.
I'll go on.
Wikipedia has a, I swear to God, there's a Wikipedia thing of celebrities who've worn blackface. And it's long.
Really?
I mean, yeah, there's like each letter of the alphabet and a lot of people.
Wow.
I'm going to get you added.
The Joy Behar one's dumb because she doesn't even really look.
She darkened her skin. She admitted it.
When is Amnesty Day? Just let me know so I can go on with Gail King and then be.
Look at this Judy Garland one.
God damn.
Billy Crystal, Jimmy Fallon, Ted Danson.
Billy Crystal? Why isn't she beating up Billy Crystal?
She should be.
A lot of the
next.
The, all the people on the Wikipedia page, by the way, it shows when they wore blackface. Uh-huh. And a lot of the people are not that long ago.
Oh, Jesus.
I know this has been a very difficult week for you in the state of Virginia. So where would you like to begin?
Well, it has been a difficult week. And, you know, if you look at Virginia's history, we're now at the 400-year anniversary. Just 90 miles from here in 1619, the first indentured servants from Africa landed on our shores in Old Point Comfort, what we call now Fort Monroe. And while...
Also known as slavery.
Yes. And, you know...
Yes. What? Can you just get up and do a moonwalk in that big room behind
him? Why is he using the term indentured servants?
He didn't want to say slaves.
I guess technically it was correct that there were some indentured servants from
most of those
Africa,
were,
but
were
it's like 99% were slaves.
Yeah. But indentured,
indentured servants,
you think you
those
still
are...
deserve this job when so many people are calling for you to step down.
Well, again, we have worked very hard. We've had a good first year, and I'm a leader. I've been in some very difficult situations, life and death situations, taking care of sick children. And right now,
you're a doctor, yes.
Right now, Virginia needs someone that can heal. There's no better person to do that than a doctor. Virginia
what?
Also needs someone who
are they physically
strong,
ill,
who has empathy, who has courage, and who has a moral compass. And that's
and who
why
can moonwalk.
I'm not going anywhere. I have learned from this. I have a lot more to learn. But we're in a unique opportunity now. Again, the 400-year anniversary of the history, whether it be good or bad, in Virginia, to really make some impactful changes.
No slavery in this country.
Yeah.
Oh, silly. You want to know the biggest whopper he told in that whole interview?
With Gail King?
Yeah.
What did he say?
Gail said, so you weren't thinking about doing the moonwalk when you looked over at that floor? You weren't thinking about doing it? He goes, no, no. She's like, oh, many people credit your wife for stepping in. And he's like, no, I wasn't going to do it. He denied that he was going to do the moonwalk.
I think he was looking to see if he had enough space to really moonwalk.
A ton of space. He could have done the whole routine.
I don't know. I think he wanted, if he was going to do it, he was going to really go for it.
And blast it
out. So he was analyzing the situation.
Indentured servants enter into a contract to come here.
Right.
And... be set up.
They work.
And
then
they work off the fare,
basically. Right. And most of those were from
Europe,
Scotland, and Ireland, and like the British wanted to get rid of them, so they shipped them off.
I'm learning so much.
It's
a teachable moment.
50 to 64% of white people. What percentage is it's always acceptable to wear blackface? This would be Governor Ralph's main demographic.
Oh, 50 to 64-year-olds say it's always acceptable?
No, what percent do you think say it's always acceptable?
God. 35%.
20.
20?
It's the highest one by far.
Wait, so it doesn't 29. Change that much then from the overall number? Because the overall number, wasn't it 17%?
15. Well, whites were 18, so yeah. Young
Wait,
people.
Wait, black people say it's always acceptable? There's a percentage?
Only 5%.
Well, still 5%. I mean...
Are those surprising? The people that just pick up the phone and go, yeah, whatever. Yeah, it's fine. Click. I mean,
guess that's all the whites can hope for these days.
53% of black people say it's never acceptable, which you would think it would be like 99%.
I would think it'd be a little higher. I still wonder about the whole idea of, you know, for example, we were talking about Michael Jackson. People dressed up as Michael Jackson all the time. That was a huge costume. And I don't doubt that most of those people loved him. They thought he was cool as hell, and they thought it was a fun costume.
What
so
percent?
People are probably making fun of him.
What percent of all
Not
adults?
Because he's black, though.
Yeah.
All adults say it's never acceptable to wear another culture's traditional dress as a costume.
Oh, God.
What percentage?
Yeah.
20?
Say it's never acceptable?
Never acceptable.
I'm going to say 10%.
13.
Okay.
15 is rarely acceptable.
I mean, that like when they were busting the I think it was a fraternity at Michigan were having an Egyptian party or something, and they shut the party down. It's like, that sounds like something people would have been doing on college campuses for a long time. And, you know, if it's not meant in some horrible way, I guess you can't wear anything now that you would just not wear to work or to play.
Not if you're going to be a public office.
Anything outside of your normal cultural experience, it's wrong.
God, Halloween's going to
suck.
Seems
awfully limiting, doesn't it?
It does. But wait a minute.
And when people mean no offense, what I mean, honestly, where do people learn all these things, by the way? What is offensive and what is appropriation? What isn't appropriation? Who makes these rules and where are they? I think we all need to read them.
I don't know, but the Egyptian thing, these are ancient Egyptians, though. A culture that's different. It's died out. It's
how about
preserved
girl?
In museums. It's Tutankhamun and stuff like that.
No, I'm just selling me.
It'd be the same
thing. Just don't worry about it.
Somebody dressed up like Vikings or something, would that be cultural appropriation?
I guess so.
Of an ancient race?
Yep.
Well, what race were most Vikings?
Scandinavian.
You know, people still give a lot of
white
women
people.
Shit
are
when they wear...
Are people going to get angry about that? Is somebody going to get angry and say, you're not a Viking?
Every once in a while, the girls get in trouble for wearing kimonos and stuff.
I see it. There was the girl who wore the Asian dress to the prom.
Yeah.
And she was so proud of her dress, and people went, oh, my God. And there was a whole
long thing about...
No, she didn't. Well, she got permission from somebody. And then people said, that person gave you permission is full of shit.
Not getting it.
Some Asian person told her it was okay. And then other people said, no, that's horrible. It was mostly people that were not Asian, though, that were screaming about it.
And then
someone Asian jumped into the fray and said, no, it's wrong, and here's why I feel that way. And she was mad at the Asian person who gave her permission. And so that person should not have given her permission. And then other Asian people were jumping in going, I don't give a fuck. I think this is really dumb.
It is really dumb. That person was right, and it's stupid that we argue over shit like that.
Well, it seems like it's all we talk about now.
Right. Yeah. So
who gives a fuck?
Why don't we talk about helping people? I mean, doing things that really matter, that really do things for people.
It's not fun to. You can't yell at people in. Isn't that really what it's about? People just want to yell at other people.
I guess so. No, we're tattletaling on people is the favorite thing. This is adults love tattletaling now. They love it. And I think a lot of people love lectures and other people getting lectures. I mean, this is stuff like, you're in trouble. I mean, that was a horrible thing as a kid.
Yeah.
But now we love going, I went through your tweets and you're in trouble.
I think this guy summed it up.
You've got bad tweets from your... Well, these people have bad tweets when... Was the guy who played for Villanova, was it?
Oh, yeah.
He had the most points in the championship game, and he had bad tweets when he was 14
Dante,
years
old. I can't
think
of his last name.
Wasn't he 14?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like... Somebody digs up shitty tweets when he's fucking 14? Really? I mean, we really expect 14-year-olds to be perfect all the time? Don't 14-year-olds fuck up and do dumb things?
Nope, I want them to always be
constantly.
Perfect. I want kids to always be perfect.
I just thought that was like, wow, let's just put a just take a complete diarrhea shit on this guy who's the MVP in the Final Four championship game. And it becomes all about, he's got tweets when he was 14. Oh, my God. You're in trouble. Guy saves the All-Star game. Oh, we found tweets from you when you were, when he was 17 or 18, wasn't he?
I'm sorry, I'm stuck on diarrhea shit. Is that redundant? Because they're really two different things. Right?
Yeah, okay.
Nobody's ever, I just took a nice shit, and they're referring to diarrhea.
I just took a steaming shit on him. The guy in the All-Star game, when were his tweets? How old was he?
I think he was 17, Josh Hader.
17. Oh, you think you're hot shit because you saved the All-Star game and got the win or whatever.
You're
in trouble. I've been looking at your tweets. I mean, isn't it just crazy? Is this fucking nuts? Nobody can do anything without somebody going through their entire life and looking at people's yearbooks from high school, the Judge Kavanaugh shit.
Well, that's
high school.
That's
yearbooks.
Politic opposition research bullshit.
Yeah,
but everyone invests in it. Once it comes out, people go, "Oh my God, did you see his high school yearbook?"
What was the drinking game?
But that was
who cares?
That was relevant because whatever happened happened then.
Oofing, yeah, and ski.
I don't know. I don't think a high school yearbook is really a way to judge a person when they're 60 years old. I don't know. It just. Where did that thing ever go? What happened? What happened to Dr. Christine Ford?
Oh,
did she get? Did she get her NoFundMe?
She still has one
door.
NoFundMe. I think she only has one door.
I thought about him because of the lieutenant governor, who's demanding an investigation. By the way, because this doctor and this Duke graduate are conspiring to smear him.
Give me a break.
I know. So, an investigation.
How can there be an investigation of that, though?
Well, wasn't that long? Wasn't as long ago? At least like Kavanaugh. What year was Kavanaugh? 1980.
Yeah.
The junior in high school. This guy was. Wait, had he graduated from Duke? He's not that old. But it was 2000 and 2004. One girl's from the year 2000, one girl's from the year 2004. So it's still 15 years ago. That's a long time.
But if it just happened between the two of them, how can there be...
And he acknowledges they had sex. So they had...
They had sexual contact. That is agreed upon.
Yeah.
He says it was consensual.
Yeah. And there was oral sex, too, in the 2004 one, but was it consensual?
I think the one of the girls, at least, I it's hard to keep all this shit straight. I mean, I'm so busy finding out about people who are in trouble. one of the girls actually has a record of telling a number of other people that this happened, and I think text messages.
One.
And
yeah.
Okay.
She's also claiming a basketball player raped her.
Yeah, I know, which sort of like makes things go, oh, boy, jeez. Well, this chick.
That probably helps him.
I would agree. You're in trouble because you say you're right by two people.
Kind of.
I mean, I know. I'm not trying to be a dick about it. I know it's a sexual assault, but it's like, it's. I mean, it does. It becomes. But the thing is, it's Oppo research. Everyone lines up.
Yeah.
Everyone does. Fucking crazy.
That's fun.
You're in trouble.
You know, what really needs an investigation is Jesse Smollett.
Oh, yeah. Did you see the New York Post story today?
Yeah, about
that
the neighbor.
That was very interesting because nobody's even talking about this anymore. It's like, well, we can't find it, and we don't want to say that's fake, so let's just let this one
die.
Go.
They're not going to let it die, though.
They're not going to let it die because
he's not going to let it die. He keeps
he
talking about it.
He hasn't said much lately. He did his concert. Has he said anything since then?
Didn't he call him? I thought you said that he called him the gay Tupac.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Because of, yeah.
Was that a little bit of a strong statement? The gay Tupac?
Why? Because Tupac's already gay? Well, like, it's redundant?
No, no. I mean, comparing himself to Tupac Shakur?
I would never.
Does Smollett have much in common with Tupac?
I would
Shakur?
Never want to be compared to Tupac Shakur.
I wouldn't
he
either.
He was not a good guy.
I don't know what he meant.
I don't know what he means by that either.
I like more of Tupac's songs than I like Jesse Smollett's.
Oh, by far.
So.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. Anything. Jesse Smollett is a name I don't think I'll ever forget now. Mm-hmm. It's like, I mean, really, it was in the news for a lot of days. Anyway, the New York Post did a story today that I thought was a little weird because it almost seemed like. You know, this Jesse Smollett story was a really big story, and nobody's talking about it. So they went and interviewed his neighbors around there who all said, I think it's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe it. This neighbor's extremely liberal. It's either blacks or gays in this neighborhood. So
plus
I think
plus there's cameras everywhere.
Yeah, there's cameras everywhere. They keep saying they find new video, and then they never find the attack. Somebody found a bottle that they said had something that smelled like bleach in it. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, this
could
is
be
like
a bleach bottle?
2 weeks later. Wow. But they reiterated in the story that he still hasn't given up his phone records, that there's nothing on videotape that would back him up, and also that they will charge him if they believe this is a fake report. And also the manager has not given up his phone. And I think Jesse Smollett claimed that he would get his records to the police.
So, it seems like most
Where's phone records?
Most of the sensationalized stuff comes from the manager, including the racial slur and
the
MAGA country.
MAGA.
Yeah.
Because
he never reported either one of those.
He did say, though, that people are going, you Empire faggot!
Yeah.
And Empire N-word.
Yeah.
People who would yell that, though, wouldn't watch Empire.
That's kind of what
seems,
I thought.
You know,
although that's the first thing.
Wasn't it a hate watch?
The one big thing, though, is the letter.
So I know.
It's possible he could have been targeted for a week out and waiting for him. It's possible. Is it probable?
I don't know. Trigger anger.
If you're going to send a letter, are you really then going to stalk the person to attack him very timidly? It's kind of a weak attack.
If somebody sent that letter, first of all, that letter looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
Have you seen the letter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can draw better than that, and I can draw.
It looks to me like someone was trying to send a letter from a dumb person.
It looks like they wrote it with their opposite hand, too.
Yes. Yeah, it does.
The old JonBenet Ramsey trick.
They also spelled his name right. I mean,
the old
Santa trick. It makes these MAGA empire-hating racists sound like, wow, they committed the perfect crime. I don't think MAGA empire-hating people, KKK people, are that brilliant. To know how to stay off of surveillance cameras and, you know, to plan a route and...
Yeah, but they don't know how to bundle up and not look like a redneck.
I guess not. Although, you know what? That story, they can't find those guys on surveillance camera.
Well, those two blobs?
The two redneck-looking people that were 300 feet apart.
The two that they wanted to see?
Yeah. Not those two guys.
Okay.
No, these are a neighbor of his said, walking my dog, and there were two rednecks standing 300 feet apart. One of them was wearing hunting socks. And those people are also not locatable.
Hey, maybe they're hipsters. I can see hipsters wearing like hunting socks.
No, rednecks.
Oh, okay. What's more likely in that area, hipsters or rednecks?
Hipsters.
Well, the neighbors in the New York Post story said that neighborhood is black and gay primarily. And also that it's extremely liberal. Chicago's a very liberal city. Chicago's a very surveilled city. This happened, a number of people, including the police, said, we think we'll find this on surveillance tape.
So the fact that they haven't is an anomaly. It's
significant.
The way I grew up, and that's the way I'm going to be.
The actual person
that's
captured
a
on the
a bundled
phone.
Redneck.
The manager did release that bit of audio from the phone call, fortunately.
Did you see the Jared Fogle story?
Yes, I did.
No, what's
in the Daily
Jared?
Mail?
Jared Fogle?
I like how you're stacking the subway stories, though.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. You're right. Those sandwiches. I wonder what he thinks about all this.
He's pictured. He looks like he's kept the weight off.
I know.
Is he in blackface?
No, he's
not.
No
blackface for him.
But we've gone through his tweets and you're in trouble, Jared Fogle. He apparently, his cell is never locked and he is free to use the computer and gamble to his heart's content. And I'm like, why? Jared Fogle, because he's the subway guy? They kiss his ass in prison? Jared Fogle? He's a fucking zero. He's a fat ass zero.
I thought he was getting huge again. You're saying he's keeping it off?
Yeah. Looks like he's losing weight in prison somehow. Usually guys fatten up in prison.
Yeah. Well, he's got a lot of walking. He likes to walk.
Well,
he always walks around the yard.
The part of the story says that they have a great gym there.
He's
and
not in the gym.
He works out all the time.
Bullshit.
And he cooks. He's eating good.
But they made it sound like he has all this privilege because he's Jared. It's like, he's a zero. I've interviewed him. He's worse than a zero.
Kind of an asshole.
He thinks he's cool, and he thinks like that everyone wants to hear everything he has to say, which is nothing.
I have a Q rating of 98.
Yeah, he told us he had a Q rating. I mean, he was like naming people his Q rating was higher than. It's like, get the fuck out of here. You're a slob.
Who knows their Q rating?
Somehow lost weight. Probably taking speed or lap band surgery.
Oh, yeah.
what a turd.
I know. He's such a zero. I want his privileges taken away immediately. Lock his fucking cell.
I cannot.
No gambling.
I cannot wait for Celebrity Love After Lockup starring Jared Fogle.
Would it be? But did you hear they have Stairmaster cable weights outside? They have baseball field and cornhole court.
Oh. So.
Cornhole court?
Nothing.
They've turned
prison
cornhole
would allow
into
cornhole.
A game? There's a court?
Yeah, but we play cornhole.
What happened to the usual places?
He's a complete bunghole.
They do say his cell is always open. His cell door is on.
What? That's weird.
Gee, I didn't realize you were so far in the show.
How far are we?
2.5 hours, right?
Whoa. Let's stop talking with this guy.
Hall Financial Hotline. Shutting down. Click the link to Hall Financial on the Drew and Mike website. Drew and Mike Show. Or call 248-308-5000. And, you know... Now, there was one other thing. The story, another big story, was that the Colorado killer, you know, his fiance's phone was working from Idaho,
yeah, the nurse.
800 miles away. Yeah, his girlfriend, his side receptacle / phone disposal chick, has revealed that she got rid of the phone, and she lives in Idaho. So she's the one that took it up to Idaho and apparently sent the text to the workplace and to him going, I'm going to be gone for the week. I'm taking vacation. And she claims that she thought he was going to kill her if she didn't help him, or if she didn't, you do this with the phone.
Bullshit.
Which is like, wait a second, why would you call the cops? Because they'd arrest him in a second because they're looking for her.
Yeah.
And you got her phone, you dope.
Yeah. They always say that. That's never
That's
true.
Not believable. Didn't she date him for a really good long time, too?
Yeah. So the nurse who had the phone, the receptacle.
Yes. Did you see the, was it 2020? He had the story about the Black Widow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Nice teeth.
Holy crap. Yeah, really, she did. Sorry, bites into her sandwich, it looks like the Batman signal. Yes.
The idea that the daughter typed that letter.
Oh.
She had poisoned with antifreeze
her husband.
I just want to say this, too. If you're going to kill or try to kill three people, can you do different ways to kill them? Stop going back to the tried and true antifreeze.
And she never thought she'd get caught.
She wasn't that smart. So they dug, because the one husband had died of antifreeze, and it was like, oh, is it a suicide, or did he drink it himself? Because there's just a glass of antifreeze or antifreeze under the bed.
Right.
I think she was trying to set up, oh, he committed suicide. Look, there's the antifreeze under the bed.
Right. Turkey baster, though.
Yeah, they find that in the kitchen. Wait, it was in the garbage.
Trash.
It was in the garbage, and it had antifreeze inside of it and his DNA at the tip.
And don't forget,
that's weird.
When they started questioning her, that came up. First, they said, well, when you poured the cranberry juice? She's like, well, when I poured the antifreeze, I mean the cranberry juice. And then she's like, oh, this is over. I need my lawyer. And then he closes his folder. She goes, what's that picture? The turkey baster.
Yeah.
That's your turkey baster.
She's such an
they never
idiot.
Thought they were going to get caught. We caught them.
Why didn't she immediately? I mean, she case moron. Closed. They should have gaveled that.
I know.
She should have gone to prison at that point.
So the guy's dead. Is it suicide? Did she make him drink antifreeze? Oh, what do you know? Her first husband died at the age of 38. How'd he die? Strange circumstance. The detective's like, we got to fucking dig up the first guy. We got to
dig
call.
Up. Good call.
And what do you know? Oh, he died of antifreeze. Isn't that
crazy? You know what I wondered about that? Because they didn't know that they were digging him up. So when they dig up a body like that, how quick do they do it? Because what happens if she wanted to show up to the cemetery that day?
Well, she put both husbands right next to each other in the cemetery, too.
I know.
Yeah, she was bizarre.
But you know what I mean? How quick do they dig that up? And do they close the cemetery and is no one allowed in?
Well, they dig there all the time.
I think they had to go to court to get it done.
No, I know they did, but
they
still had no idea. She had no idea.
And neither did
the
daughter.
No idea.
That was weird. Well, I don't know how close they lived to the cemetery, but then when they dig up the second guy, it's like, oh, two husbands dead, both of antifreeze. It's crazy. Yeah. They must have both committed suicide with antifreeze. Yeah. What's the chance of that?
So they tap her phone, and she's like, oh, this is terrible. And then the daughter makes a mistake of saying, they came to see me in college. And she goes, come on home. Let's drink.
Yeah.
And then tries to poison her.
But the daughter leaves a suicide note typed. I killed my father and my stepfather. She's, 11 or something when her father died?
Yeah.
11-year-old poisoned her father with antifreeze. Yeah, right. And the attorney, of course, the woman that did it, the Black Widow's attorney, jumps on it. The daughter did it! Here's how it happened! I don't know how lawyers.
Another serious issue, Shell thought. Could the daughter have dried her hair?
Yeah, what was that shit in her hair?
I think it looked like she had just gotten out of the shower and didn't have time to blow dry it.
I thought it was gel or grease or something.
It's a really Jersey look.
It's a bummer. All right, get us out of here,
please. Her mom's teeth.
Hey, thanks
what am
to.
I picking on her.
Thanks to Graham Nash. The book, by the way, is Wild Tales. It is just such a fucking great book. I can't get over it. Rock and Roll Life, Graham Nash, Wild Tales. He's at the Royal Oak Music Theater, March the 20th. Tickets are available. A lot of his shows are selling out, I've noticed, though. So, March 20, Graham Nash.
Get him.
Wow, he's great. I would love to talk to him again, anytime.
Oh, my God. Guys. He's so deep.
He was funny.
A lot of F-bombs.
Yeah.
I wonder how Neil Young would do the interview. I'd love to talk to him.
Oh, my God. He would be amazing.
Stills? I'd talk to any of them. We've talked to Crosby before. It's pretty cool.
Well, just to ask about the blowjob. Well, you can say, hey, David, are you getting blown by two chicks right now?
No. He lived with two chicks multiple times. He had two chicks living with him. Once when they were doing an album, and he wanted to dump one of them, and Nash said it really upped his drug use because he felt really bad. You dumping out of staying with only the one?
What?
The other one? Different world. Boy, we could use some Facebook activity. We're slipping on Facebook, although we're getting a lot of views. Just likes. I mean, we got.
Just likes?
We were fighting for 15,000 not that long ago. We're almost at 22,000, I think, but we've been stuck in the 700s for a while. My Twitter's stuck too. I can't get to 11,000. Would somebody do something?
You have to plant some blackface pictures in your past.
Maybe. And please rate us on Facebook and iTunes. It always helps to have more ratings. Don't ask me why, but it's nice, and we do appreciate it when you do it. And we do have a donation bar. And please shop. If you're going to use Amazon, do it through our portal. Please, Drew and Mike Show. See you.